Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Dan, good to be with you. Hope you're all doing good. We're going to be talk a little bit about different things tonight, so get ready for some of that. All right, hopefully y'all doing good. We're going to be praying for people tonight and believing God with you for whatever you need to make it through another day or another week, whatever it is you need, right? Yeah. All right, so let's do that. And we've got to give you something, some kind of food, encouragement. All right, here we go. Give me just a second here. They're out there. All right. Let's go here. Give me just a second. All right, welcome, everybody. We're going to talk about some really cool things tonight. We're going to ask the Lord to show us some of this stuff about how that, does God still kill people today? Like, did in the Old Testament, he stoned him back in the Old Testament. And does he do stuff like that there? Does he just kill people when they do the wrong thing? Or how does that happen? How do people get dealt with? And why doesn't God do it? Or what if he does? We're going to talk about that tonight. To see kind of where it all falls in the scripture. And so hopefully you're really interested in that. We're going to also share some things that they did stone people for back in the Old Testament, and kind of show why they don't do it today, why Jesus changed all that. Some people don't really understand that. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. And, let's go here and do this thing. Okay. All right. Let's kind of start off tonight. I want to share a little bit. Most people know that in the Old Testament that they stone people for doing things, and you'd be surprised some of the things, that they stone people for. I mean, it's just kind of mind-boggling, actually. And there we go. And I just figured what I was doing wrong. Okay. Let's do this thing. All right, finally got it. All right. Let's check into this tonight. I had a little, trying to get on something here, trying to go somewhere, and it's not wanting to go there. Now I got it. So now we're in good shape. All right, so let's talk about this tonight and share a little bit tonight. I want to share something with you, kind of how everything's changed, thank God, but why it changed and why Jesus changed it. Some of you already know, we're going to remind you a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff. We're going to go to some of the things in the law that they stoned people for, and we're going to talk about some of the things that people got killed for in the Old Testament for deliberately and willfully disobeying God's word. I mean, it's amazing. And does God do that today? And if not, why and or what? We're going to talk about that. All right. So let's go here. And I'll look at some of the things that they stoned people for back in the day. Adultery. Remember the woman who Jesus saved from being stoned? from adultery. Why did they kill, why did they stone a married woman and her lover? The Bible says for, I'm reading right here out of the Torah, some of the stuff that, thank God I'm not under anymore, but it says adultery for a married woman and her lover. We're both stoned, not just the woman, not just the man, but both. And I don't know where the man was with Jesus that day when they brought him, brought her forth, but Jesus said, we're not going to do that anymore. I didn't come here to do that. And they're going like, well, if your God is, if your father is God, like you say, and he created the law, then how can you say we go against the law? That's going to show that he's not the, that he's not good, right? It's going to show that Jesus wasn't good. That, that was the purpose in doing that. But Jesus said, you know, yeah, that was truly, she sinned and she's been busted and she did, they did it legally. And they're going to stone her, which was under the law. But Jesus said, I came to change all that. In other words, now I came to forgive sin. And one of the reasons that they stoned somebody in the Bible for deliberately sinning, doing things that, that was what they considered worthy of death. The reason they did that is because they didn't want everybody to think they're going to get by with it, right? So God put very strict laws on them that if they did certain things, they were killed. You know, and that's, God set that up. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't anybody else. It was God. God set that up. Bestiality, having sex with an animal, blasphemy, worthy of death, child sacrifice, a false testimony in a capital case, right? A prophet who leads people to worship other gods, called a false prophet, proselyting and promoting other religions, stoned for that. Male homosexual relations, stoned for that. Idolatry, actual or virtual. Get over that. Actual idolatry or virtual idolatry. Incest relationships. People were stoned for that. Insubordination to supreme authority. Stoned for that. Lying about one's virginity upon marrying a spouse. Wow, can you believe that? Deuteronomy 22, verse 13 through 21 says, if you were lost your virginity and you got married and either didn't tell the guy or you just kept quiet about it, then they took you, took the virgin, the so-called virgin, to her house and her father's door and stoned her at her father's door. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And one of the other reasons that they killed people back in that day was because things got into the DNA. It wasn't just a, you know, a public death penalty that everyone knew that if you did that certain thing, you died for it, which would make them not want to do it, right? It also got into to their DNA. And so there were certain sins that got into the DNA, and Jesus had not given his DNA yet, his blood, right? That's why he said at the woman who they were getting ready to stone, they said, you know, he said, I'm not coming to do that anymore. I'm not into that anymore. We're changing that. I'm going to fulfill all that, and I'm going to shed my blood, and my blood's going to cleanse them and wash their DNA, where it won't be passed down from generation to generation. It's going to be stopped, right? And so that's why we talk about that with communion and other things, is because one of the reasons that they stoned them and got rid of their blood, they would kill the whole family sometimes. Why would you kill the whole family of the children? And it was under God's law. Remember in, when they crossed the Jordan and one of the, they took down the wall of Jericho came down and everything in there was for the priesthood, you know, because it was the first fruits, and somebody stole something, hid it in their tent, and Israel goes to war, and they lose a little simple war they should have won easily, and they find out that some guy in the tent, some guy in the camp did it, and they killed him and his whole family. Why? Because that stuff gets in the blood, and it's you know, plus it'll make you want to watch over your children a little bit more, too. I mean, there are different reasons for it, but it was very, very strict. Murder was another one. Rape committed against a betrothed woman. Rape committed against a betrothed. You'd be stoned for that. Striking, cursing, or rebelling against parental authority. Whoa. Striking, cursing, or rebelling against parental authority. You'd be stoned for that. Breaking the Sabbath. Breaking the Sabbath. That's why they wanted to stone Jesus. Remember, he walked right through them because they were taken to the the brow of the hill, and they were going to stone him because he was breaking the Sabbath. He was healing people on the Sabbath, right? They stoned you for that. You died for that. Touching Mount Sinai, while God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Don't touch that mountain while Moses is up there, or you'll be stoned. Of course, witchcraft, divination, necromancy, sorcery. You were stoned for all that. And there's more things, too, but that's kind of it. There's some other things, too, but just kind of give you an idea. And then, of course, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, and therefore, you know, I'm now going to change people. I'm going to give them new blood. I'm going to give them a new life. I'm going to forgive them their sins. I'm going to shed my DNA, my blood, so that they can have their DNA and their blood washed clean, right? So if they had ancestral relationships, which they stoned for, you know, they got into the bloodline and to the DNA, and it got passed down from generation to generation, which we see today, as well as a lot of things, you know, alcoholism and all kinds of things get passed down from the DNA. So we're kind of talking a little bit tonight about, you know, does God still stone people today? Because we know that he doesn't. In Christianity, we believe that Christ died for us, and now we can get our sins forgiven, and we can change on the inside, which in the Old Testament, there's some things, not every sin, but those sins, some of the sins that I named tonight, they definitely stoned you for. They ended your life over those things. And so there's a lot more, but that's a few of them. And so I kind of want to bring up, you know, the difference between how things were dealt with in the Old Testament and are they the same in the New Testament? And if any of them are, what are they, and what's going on with all that? So I want to share something with you tonight that makes it really simple as to who deals with people that come against you and deliberately and willfully try to not just disagree with you, not just don't like you, maybe hate you, but those who hate you, who try to move a step forward and try to stop you or take you down. So when you, and they'll have, and most of the time their hatred has such a justification for what they're going to do that their hatred blinds them, right, from that. And so what is the law today that gets people, does God kill them? Does God mess with them if they're trying to kill you, if they're trying to destroy your life and they don't repent and they try to take you down or destroy your reputation? Just like in the Old Testament, when you bore false witness in a capital case, you got stoned for that. They stoned you for giving false testimony in a capital case. We're talking about capital punishment here. We just talked about capital punishment. We didn't talk about the other punishment. There's a bunch more punishment. And the reason that God was so strict with them was because all the other nations did just whatever. They did the sex thing, whatever they wanted to, except even the pagan nations would not have ancestral sex, because one of the things about every nation is they wanted to have healthy, you know, fully blown healthy people. So they found out, as people knows, all people know this, that if incestual relationships go on, that those children come out, you know, deformed of some sort. Some really deformed, some, you know, not so much, but still. So the reason that the pagans would not have incestual relationships wasn't because it was some law they had. It's because they knew that when they did that their children, you know, came out messed up. And so their whole thing was every nation was out to grow big and be fruitful and multiply. So if you had fruit among you that was going to cause you problems and slow you down and look, make you, you know, where you had, you know, a million children who couldn't do anything and you had to nurture them, take care of them, it brought the nation down. So they just didn't do incest because, you know, in that relationship, when you get pregnant, you know, with your, when a mother has sex with her son or father has sex with his daughter, or whatever relationship arena that's in, whatever area that it touches, that God says don't do it. He doesn't say do it because it's not about stopping us from having sex. It's about stopping us from having, you know, bringing forth children that are going to be, you know, messed up. And so we want that as little as possible, right? So a lot of the children you see today that are really messed up, a lot of them are born out of incest. And it's really, really sad. And that's why God did not want that. And that's why the pagans, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, where Paul turned a situation over of a young man who's having a sexual relationship with his mother. Some people think it was his stepmother. I think it was his mother. Because the proof that we have that it says that, he said, even the pagans don't do what you're doing. You know, and what did the pagans, the only thing the pagans didn't do sexually, because they were free, because they had the law from God. They just did whatever felt good to them. If they liked you, you did it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like kind of today. If you love somebody, well, what's wrong with it? And so, but they would not have incestual relationship, you know, mother with son, because it produced seed that would be, you know, not whole children. They would be, they would have, you know, retarded or whatever, or not be whole people and couldn't function in society. So they knew better than that. That's the one thing that you find out why that proves what they're talking about there, is because of that one thing. So there's a lot of different reasons why, you know, Paul dealt with that the way he did, and why God in the Bible talks about that very specifically, says you shall not have incest, and names every kind of incest you can have. Mother with son, father with daughter, and then names, you know, the bloodlines and, you know, cousins and how far you go down to having incest, having marital relationship, having sex. You know, you had to make sure you understood that what you couldn't marry to in order to keep from producing children that were going to be, you know, not all there, basically. So when you understand scripture and when you study why Paul says in one scripture the pagans, you understand it. All right, so let's go past that. So here's basically what I want to share with you tonight that I think most people don't understand, that makes this really simple as to when people try to, when they're not just when they hate you or don't like you, but it's when they go past their hatred and put their hatred into action and try to defame you, try to stop you in some fashion or form, try to take you down. Now, if you have a business and maybe your business, you give your money to help the poor and the needy, and yep, your business helps, you know, ministries do the will of God, they're doing the will of God, and you're very loyal to that and you're set on doing that, then if somebody's trying to destroy that and trying to destroy the money that God has using through you to keep his kingdom going, friend, he's going to deal with those people very heavily. And so how do I know that? How do I know God does that and not just the devil or whatever? You know, God can use the devil sometimes, but here, I'm going to share it with you in a moment why specifically that this happens and how, who does it and why it goes on, even today in the New Testament. And so when you see it, you're going to understand. So let's look at this thing. It's about Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, New King James Version says, do not be deceived, right away. Don't be deceived. So this means that a lot of people are deceived in this area, especially New Testament Christians who think that God would never deal with somebody who was trying to not just dislike somebody or even hate them, but to go against them and trying to stop them from doing whatever they're doing. If you're a man of God or a woman of God, you're doing God's will, God's purpose, and you're, somebody is lying about you and coming against you, then he's, you know, it may take some time, but either way, you're still going to win. And God will eventually, if they do not repent, if they don't repent, continue to do that, then God, you think God's going to let somebody just loosely take down what he has blessed and what he's involved in? You think he's going to let somebody do that? Friend, I guarantee you, he'll give them every chance in the world. But when it comes to them actually making progress and doing that, he will take them out. He will literally take them out. And it's God that does it. Because here it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. For whosoever sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Right? So we know right there, it makes it really plain. So why would he say, start the scripture out with this negative statement? Do not be deceived, because it is a major deception realm with most of us. We think, oh, God doesn't do that. Her teachings, Andrew Womack even teaches it, and I love Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack's teachings are awesome. I'm not a real big Andrew Womack person, but lately he shared something that was amazing to me that I had been sharing that I've never heard anybody talk about. and it got me to watch him a little bit more. So, but yet I still watched him teach this, and, you know, and it's still, you know, so that this is, you're hearing it from my biblical perspective, right? He says, God does not do that today because God is a God of mercy. And I'm going like, I go, dude, I love you, man, but you're wrong about that. And here's why. I'm going to share with you why. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If a man sows not just hatred or unforgiveness, all those things are horrible, but comes after you and he sows the seed of trying to take you down, he will reap the consequences of trying to take you down. It's not like God's giving you extra protection because you're a servant of God. It's because it's a law. Now there is that extra protection thing for sure. Right, there is that too. But I'm just talking here tonight about people, everyday ordinary people, who have things going on in their life and they're thinking, do I feel bad about thinking that God might take out these people or do something, you know, really tough to stop them from trying to destroy me? You know, will God deal with that? Well, according to just this one thing, of course, be not deceived. God is not mocked, y'all. I mean, he's not mocked. Don't be mocking God, right? Whatsoever a man sows, and so whatsoever, not just some things a man sows, but whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if he's sowing hatred, he's going to reap hatred. But if he's sowing destruction to you or trying to take you down, trying to stop you, and they do not repent of that and get that right with God and come to you, if it's known to you, and come to you, they have to come, they have to do repentance right. Most people don't do repentance right. That's why they can't figure out why their reaping doesn't stop. When you have something against somebody, you've done something against somebody, and they know you've done it, you know, and they talk about it, or you, and you don't go, once they know about that for sure, you have to go to them and ask for forgiveness. That's the way you deal with it. And if you don't deal with it like that, the reaping doesn't stop. Right? Now, it does, when you get it right with God, getting things right with God has certain things you have to do. And if you don't do those things, friend, it will cause you to not stop the process. You still reap it, but what you reap, you don't reap the sting of death. If you were trying to take somebody out and kill them or destroy them or ruin their reputation so that their ministry or their business or their whatever their family would be a failure, trying to destroy their family with no justification at all. And if you try to do that and you do not repent of that, then you could very well have your own family destroyed. Remember when this, in the Old Testament, we know that the laws of God were shown very clearly, right? Because there was no repentance much in the Old Testament. There was, but you could repent, of course, and get things right. But like in the days of Moses, remember Moses when they rose up against him and first saying, who do you think you are? You think you're the great man of God? Nobody can, you know, do anything but you from God. And they started talking like that. And God says, line him up over here. And he lined him up and the earth swallowed him up. Well, they didn't have a clue that they were going to swallow him up. They thought they were just like, you know, we're right here. We know what we're talking about. Who does this person think they are? And, you know, but when you have been chosen by God to do something, you have, not only are you held accountable for that in some major ways, but you also, friend, you also have some protection from God. And so that's maybe a little higher level than just a regular reaping and sowing thing. But, you know, in the days when Pharaoh came after, remember when Pharaoh, when Egypt drowned all the children and Moses escaped it by, you know, his mother, taking him to the river? Remember that? And he said they killed the children of Israel in the river. They drowned them in the males in the river. Remember that? Well, what happened when they came out of Israel? God says, well, you, all these males who were in the military went chasing after Israel when the Red Sea opened up. So we're going to get them now. What happened? All those males were drowned in the river. And that's just one of many, many. There are many, many, many things you can look at in the Old Testament. Just some that are well-known that we know, that everybody knows about, that I'm talking about. So kind of give you an idea of what's going on. You know, there are, Ananias and Sapphira were lied, you know, about it. I don't know what exactly what the situation. Some people think they were saved. Some people think they weren't saved. it doesn't really matter to me either way. If you come before God and you lie deliberately and willfully, knowingly doing it, the consequences you may suffer from that are not going to be good. And that's New Covenant. That's New Testament, right? So, and one of the major things we're going to see at the very, very event of the end times, God doesn't deal with things right now the way he's going to deal with things. When Jesus comes back, if you read when Jesus comes back and he splits the sky open and comes down at Armageddon, he slays bunches of people. There's so many people that the blood is, you know, up to the bridle's horses, to the horse's bridles, that deep in blood. And who's doing that? Well, you know, Jesus slays them by the word of his mouth. So we know that that's going to happen then. But right now, of course, that's not what's going on. So God has his laws set up so that it says, be not deceived. In other words, it's a really deceptive, can be a big, big deception with people. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, whatsoever. So whatsoever covers, you know, if you're vindictive towards somebody and you just, like, you know, whatever, you're going to reap vindictiveness back to you. Because the reason that it works like this, because God made it as a law that when you plant an apple seed's not going to grow. Oh, I hope, I'm going to pray that it grows a peach tree. You plant an apple seed, you know it's an apple seed. You plant it in the ground and you pray, oh, dear God, let that be a peach tree. It's not going to be a peach tree, friends. It's going to be an apple tree. You plant an apple seed. Same thing here. When you plant a seed of being unkind to somebody, somebody can be unkind to you, right? It's just the way it works. God, it's not God looking at, Randy did something unkind to somebody today. Let's make sure that he reaps that. It's a law set into action that, yes, angels and different things, that, you know, there's all different kinds of ways that it works. But the fact is we don't have to understand all of it, but we just know that it does work. It does work. So if you are, you know, making a mistake in coming against somebody that's a man of God, you know, and you really love God, God's not going, that. What kind of seed did you sow? A mistake seed. I've had people, you know, do things against me that their motives, I'm going to share something with you about the motive. It's really awesome stuff. About their motives were not evil. Their motives were not, oh, we hate him. We're going to take him down. And so, you know, we're going to speak judgment on him and that kind of thing. I think everybody has that happen to them one way or the other. Speaking judgment, people speak or pray or think judgment thoughts towards you that they're judging you from the outside. And what they're judging you of is just totally not right, right? But we all have that to a certain degree. So that's why you take every thought captive, and that's why you, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you condemn it. You have to literally do that, or it will mess with you. All right, we talked about that recently. All right, so be not deceived. God is not mocked. So who does the thing? Who brings the reaping? If they sow hatred, and the hatred comes back to them, is God doing that? Yes. It's a law he put into action. So that Christians, we learn from that. When we reap what we sow, if we're truly seeking God, we're going to, man, why do I keep reaping this same situation? Well, God's trying to open up your eyes by teaching you. It's not because he's trying to come down on you and judge you and take you out. It's to, if you're truly trying to learn and your motives, you know, you don't even really realize what you're doing. You don't realize what you're doing to somebody else. Maybe you're thinking they're one way and they're really not that way, and you're treating them like that all the time, and you can't figure out why people are treating you like that all the time. You might look and see maybe some of the people that you could be your husband, your wife, your children, you know, friends, Christian brothers, you could be judging them incorrectly. And if you are, you're going to reap that, friend. It's not like, oh, God made a mistake, because the very seed you sow, it has the what's going to grow back to you, come back to you in the seed. So there's no way it can get messed up or confused. I can't be reaping that because I would never do anything like that. Well, you might be judging somebody, you know, unrighteously that you think is a certain way, and they may not be like that at all. If you mess with them on a regular basis, you know, if like family things, you know, I mean, I've reaped my share of stuff. And for us, we should learn from it. It's not like God's trying to condemn us. He lets the reaping be a teaching. That'll be good. Let the reaping be a teaching. Let it teach you the ways of God. Let it teach you what you're doing. Let it teach you what you're doing. If you say, well, I'm not really doing anything, well, maybe you are and you don't know it. Because God's not mocked. Be not deceived. There's something going on. That's not being brought into the open. Listen, friend, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Now, in some cases where, like Joseph was, you know, put, you know, the reaping and sowing situation there is a little bit different because God wanted him to be in Egypt, and he was training him to run things, to run business. So he always had him running businesses, wherever he was, Potiphar's house, the jail ministry, he ran the whole thing, you know. The officer of the jail, you know, that ran the jail said, hey, you know, I trust you. You're doing a great job. So he was being trained. So in that situation, he was being trained. And so God put him in some unjust situations to train him. So if you're having unjust situations, just try to be more like Joseph. It may be hard, but you may have to go, well, I guess maybe I'm reaping this because, or this is happening in my life because God is trying to train me and teach me. Either way, you know, you're going to learn from it, right? So we learn from it. Either way, we're learning from the situation. And if you're not learning from it, if you keep reaping something, because Joseph kept reaping being in prison for 15 years, that's a lot of reaping. He's going like, why am I reaping this? You know, and so you have to understand the way God does things. Is God trying to teach me something? Is he taking me somewhere? I know I love him. I know I worship him like Joseph did. So why am I in this circumstance, this unjust situation? Because God was teaching him and training him. And then when the pain was over and he was, you know, working with Pharaoh, running Egypt, then he understood. Man, all those years, 15 years or so, man, I was being trained. God was really working on me. He really built in me and all the discipline he had and all the give everything over to God, no matter whether you understand it or not, was all training for him. So if you can't take it as training, friend, then you're gonna have to take it as God trying to tell you something about you. It's got to be one or the other or a little bit of both. It's either got to be he's trying to train you and you need to keep your mouth shut about it, you know, as far as maybe complaining to people, and start talking to God. Say, God, you're trying to train me here. Help me to be trained right so that what you're training me, all this injustice I'm going through, it's bringing me somewhere. It's taking me somewhere. And when you stop complaining about it, it's because you see, you know, if you know for sure you're reaping it in an unjust way, you know God is not mocked. He can't be deceived. So it must be that he's training you and teaching you for something really big. So that ought to say, I can't open my mouth about that much longer. And you won't open your mouth about it much longer once you start seeing that God's training you. Then make it easy, then make it perfect. So in that case, we see situations. So there are unjust situations. As we know, we talked about that, I think, last week a little bit. So now here's the next scripture I want to go through, Matthew 7, verse 2. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All right, so let's look at that, Matthew 7, verse 2. This is New Testament, Jesus teaching this. Galatians 7 is Paul the Apostle. Teaching, you know, something that the laws of God, be not deceived, God's not mocked. All right, so Matthew 7, Jesus talking, he said, with what judgment that you judge, in other words, how you're judging somebody, you could be judging them wrong. You could be judging them unrighteously, and you don't even know it. So if you're reaping something, if you're being judged of something yourself, then it's possible that you're making some judgments about some things that are incorrect. Somebody has told you, yes, I know so-and-so did so-and-so. I know they did that because their husband or their wife or their children or somebody very reputable told me about it. So I know. And maybe what those people knew was either a lie, an exaggeration of some sort, and you're sitting there passing that information and judging a person according to what their husband or wife or children or some reputable preacher said to you, and you don't know from God yourself, friend, you're setting yourself in a position to be really messed with. That's why you need to make sure from God. Like in the Old Testament, they stoned virgins. They stoned people women who said they were virgins when they got married and they weren't. But they had to prove it. And you know how they proved it, right? And so they had to go and, you know, get the women together, and they had to prove that this woman had never had intercourse ever before. But if they found that she was guilty, and they had to really make sure she was really guilty of it, That's the thing. Are you making sure that the person that you're getting, it's not just somebody told you because maybe they had some kind of vendetta against them and they stretched it or whatever they did, and you're believing a stretched thing, which makes it a lie, and you're passing that on or passing judgment on somebody because of what somebody else said without that proof? Like if they would have stoned that woman, that girl, and found out that, you know, maybe she was riding a horse one time and she had an accident and so something went on and she lost, the thing that would prove her to be a virgin was not there anymore. But what if that happened? So they had to make sure and put the proof of law of the law, the proof of the proof of the law when they of guilty or not guilty was very stringent. They had to really make sure because they were going to stone somebody. And so you didn't want to be guilty of stoning somebody because of a rumor or some false thing being told. Right? So they really went to a lot of trouble to find out if those people were really guilty of what they said. Like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, there was, I think, 7 or 8 witnesses that actually caught her. They actually caught her. That's why they said they caught her in the act. It wasn't just rumor. It wasn't something. Jesus knew they were not lying. And he told her, he said, you know, go sin no more. So he knew that she was a sinner. But why was he forgiving her? Why was he letting her go and busting all the other guys? Because they were all in the same boat. And he was saying, you're all in the same boat and you're going to stone her? Well, I didn't come to do that. I came to change people. I came to forgive them, cleanse their DNA, make them a new creation, give them a new life on the inside. Right? Whatsoever, with what judgment you judge somebody, you will be judged, friend. God is not mocked. He could say that right here, too. God is not mocked. Whatsoever things what judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, wow, there's the big thing right there. It will be measured back to you. The measure that you judge. In other words, if you really... really hate somebody. It's one thing to have unforgiveness and have a problem with them and you don't like them, you disagree with them. That measure is less measure of, but when you actively start increasing the measure of how you feel about that person and you're praying against them and you're talking bad about them, the measure, it's what measure that you use. If you hate them, if you disagree with them, that's one thing, you know, there's nothing wrong with that because you disagree with somebody. But to go after them and really, you know, move to right to the top level of just going after them and trying to stop them and trying to take them down, then that measure that you're doing that in is going to come back to you. In other words, this isn't God going, okay, let's kill them all, you know. This is, if you do not repent of those judgments or those seeds you've sown, then it's going to come back to you. And with the measure that you gave it, that measure is going to come back to you. If the measure you went into was killing that person, literally physically wanting to do that, thinking about it, working on it, then guess what? That's going to come back to you. Now, the law may bust you and the law may put you to death. That may be the way it happens. Or if you think you get by with it, believe me, somehow that's going to. So whatever measure, whatever level of intensity that you bought against that person, that is going to come back to you and me, right? So with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure, I love this part because it just tells you, like, wow, the measure that you use. In other words, if you totally, unjustly, you know, want to take down somebody, and you don't really have any proof. You have nothing. It's just something that you think is going on, and you don't really have anything. And you try to do something, and your judgment against them is wrong. That judgment will come back to you. You will be judged by other people. You're going to find yourself being judged by people. All of a sudden, why are people judging me like this all the time? Wow, I don't know why. Because you're judging. Now there is unjust judgment. Right? But then you're innocent and God is with you. And that's why you pray the prayer that every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it. Because this judgment thing, friend, is very powerful. You have to understand when people start judging you and start passing the word around and you got a lot of people judging you because they believe the lie or the half-truth of that person, you better rise up in the spirit and condemn those tongues. Now, you're not condemning the people. You're condemning the spirit of that thing trying to come against you to take you out emotionally, mentally, cause you emotional issues, stress, whatever it is. If you do not rise up and condemn those tongues that are judging you, that rise up in judgment against you, believe me, I'm going to tell you something. It will affect you. It could cause you to have some real problems, right? So we need to understand that. And some people just out of jealousy. They killed Jesus out of jealousy. That's what the book of Acts says. And all through, even when they brought him to Pilate, and they said they knew that the Jews were doing it out of jealousy. It was obvious because everybody loved Jesus. You know, and he was doing signs, wonders, and miracles, and even they wanted to see some miracles. This guy's awesome. They said he's an innocent, wonderful man. The Jews were doing it out of jealousy. Why would the Romans be jealous of him? You know what? They tried to make him Rome jealous. Well, he wants to be king, and there's no king but Caesar. They tried to make Rome jealous, you know, or protective of. And they talked to him, and they said, man, we could tell this guy's not trying to be king. He's not trying to take Pilate's place or anybody else's place. They're doing this out of pure jealousy. So, of course, God was arranging that, as we know. So there are such situations, but here's what you have to deal with. If you're being unjustly judged and you're not rising up in the spirit and condemning those tongues that judge you, you're going to have some problems, and that's why you need to learn the scripture that says, every tongue, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. You have to do that in prayer, or it will affect you and bring you down. Because that's the purpose of it, right? To bring you down. Now, they're going to reap what they sow, but they may not reap what they sow for another year or two or three or four years. So how do you stop it from affecting you? Well, one of the ways is no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now, if they're truly judging you, and you're lying and saying, I didn't do that, or maybe you got forgiveness for it, and then you're trying to say, well, what they said I did, they're lying. When they know that you did what you did, and you're guilty of it, maybe you got forgiveness, but then now you're lying and saying they're lying, that messes you up, friend. I know people that have done that. Kinfolk, personal situations where they got busted, and the person that busted them, they didn't like the fact that, who do you think you are, you know, busting me? And privately, I'm probably went to them privately and busted them, privately. And they got all offended. They tried to hide it. They tried to lie about it. Maybe they got forgiveness for what they did. It doesn't really matter whether they got forgiveness for what they did or not. If they turn around and try to accuse the person who privately approached him about it. Whoa. You see that? Even if they ask for forgiveness from what you said, you know they did. If you went to them privately and talked to them, you know they did it. You were just trying to help them. And they turned on you. Maybe they quit doing what they were doing, but they turned on you. You see that right there? That keeps them open to that judgment that they will be judged. And it could be sickness, it could be disease, it could be, depends on the measure. See, here's what I'm saying. Does God kill people today? Yes. You know why? Because they don't repent of the seeds that they sow. God is not mocked. He didn't say the law is not mocked. He said God Almighty is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. This is a big one, y'all. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. Right? So, and when you get things right with God, then you have to go, if that person knows about your stuff, knows that you lied about them, knows that then you have to go to them and you have to let them know, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. That's the true way of repentance and getting things right. If you don't do the full process, you will still keep reaping from God, not from the devil. Don't blame the devil. You will keep reaping from God because you didn't get right with God the way He says do it, not just your own personal way. You know, I get right with God the way I want to. You can, but believe me, you'll keep reaping. It may not be as devastating, but it's still going to hang over you. So if somebody tries to have thoughts of taking you out, would God take them out? The law of God. And it said here, God. He's not mocked. So God takes them out if they don't repent. Now, he gives them plenty of time because he knows people sometimes can get upset, give them time to get over it, pray for them. That's why you pray for those who come against you, because they could see that they're wrong. Maybe you did hurt them, but maybe they can see that they have unforgiveness and hatred, and so pray for them. That's why you pray for those who come against you. It's not just to do it to be spiritual. Oh, I'm praying for so-and-so. They hate my God. I'm really spiritual. You know, it's not about that. It's about praying that God will have mercy on them and that they will repent of their unforgiveness. Now, if they're accusing you falsely, even more so, despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you, to pray for them. Why do you do that? To look spiritual and to go, God, you know how rocking spiritual I am, man. My God, I'm praying for those that despitefully use me and say all manner of evil against me. I'm praying for them. Yes, I am, because I'm a mighty woman of God or a mighty man of God. Now, that's not the purpose of it. You pray for them so that they'll repent of it and get right with God. And when they do, you know, they're not going to, they will learn from their reaping. God always lets us learn from our reaping. Reaping does not go away, God, because God's not mocked. But the thing is, the measure changes. When you repent and you say, God, and you go to that person, man, I'm so sorry I accused you of this. You know, I falsely accused you of this, and I did it. I did it on purpose because somebody lied, and I hated you for it, blah, blah, blah. Or you hurt me, and I wanted you to know that I forgive you. I know that you said you were sorry, but I didn't believe you, and blah, blah, blah. And so even though – so they come to you and they ask for forgiveness, then everything gets changed, right? The judgments get changed, and everything gets turned around. But if they don't come to you, then they will still reap a lot of it, right? But the measure is not the same. If they're getting right with God and they stop talking bad about you, if they've already ruined your reputation or tried to ruin your reputation, then that's why they have to get that right. That's why there's capital punishment for giving false testimony in a capital case, right? I read those things, what they stoned. Really need to understand why God had them stoned back in the day, because there was a reason for that. It wasn't just because God was mean and believed in capital punishment, because there was a reason for it. God had a reason for all of it. When you start understanding the reason for it, it helps you understand God. All right, so we've covered a lot tonight. I hope that you understand that it's not necessarily God standing over you going, I know you want to murder that person. I know you want to get murdering. You're already going to kill him. You're trying to destroy him. I'm going to destroy you. You know, that in that case, there are cases that does happen. And God has special cases that he does deal that with in a very personal way. But the law itself works for every person, no matter who you are, big, small, money, no money. It doesn't matter. Perfect. It doesn't matter. It works for everyone. And so that's why you need to understand, listen, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever they're sowing, whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap it, and so will they. Right? So we pray for them when they have things against us, unjust things, or even maybe half-true, but, you know, they need to get off of it because you changed. You're a different person now, so they need to get off of that. But if you don't deal with it properly and helping them get over it, then, you know, and go and say, man, I'm sorry for what I did. And, you know, ask for forgiveness. And if you don't do that, then they're still in that situation of judging you. Then they're thinking that you're still like, you know, they don't care whether they did wrong or not to me and to my family or whatever. They don't care, you know, so they keep judging you because you haven't said it right. You need to stop it from being in action. And the reason God allows it to come on you is because you haven't dealt with it properly. Sometimes I need people to come to me, just like you need people to come to you, to say, hey, man, I lied about you, or you hurt me, and, you know, I said things about you, and now I see that you changed, so please forgive me, and I forgive you for what you've done, and get it right with God. Get it right with God God's way. But if you don't, you're going to keep getting that situation, and it is not going to go away, friend. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And Jesus is not mocked either. Right? So get it right God's way. You get it right halfway, guess what? Well, half of the reaping, you know, the intensity of it, the measure of it may change. but you're still going to keep reaping it. You know, it's something we need to learn, that just because you get forgiveness of it, if you haven't gone to that person, if you mess them around financially and you don't go to them and say, hey, you know, we'll try to pay you back, they can say, well, you know what, I'm going to forgive you, you don't have to, or they're going to say, okay, let's set up payments. Whatever they choose, they have a right to for that. So there you go. Anyway, I hope you understand a little bit tonight why people do die. Well, I've had situations that I've known about. I don't want to give too many details. I've talked about some details many times on the show, but I've seen people reap horrible consequences, and it's like, did God do that or did the devil do that or whatever? No, they reap what they sow because they didn't repent and they kept coming after you. You know, and you're a woman of God or a man of God, or you got a business that's you dedicate to God, and that business is making money, that's supplying God's kingdom money. Believe me. You know, he's going to watch over you. He's going to take care of you. Right. He will deal with them. And especially if you're an end-time business person or end-time servant of God, and you're being used in some end-time ways, God is not just let anybody talk about you. And if they do, he will use it for your benefit to raise you up, but it cannot tear you down. Now, in Jesus' case, they lied about him. Of course, he never did anything wrong. But it was because God, and he knew that God was going to let them crucify him. So therefore, he knew that the lies and all the things that were going on were in the purposes of God. So you have to understand that either the lies and things that are going on with you are doing something for you, with you, to grow you up fast in God, and quit complaining and whining about it like I have done that time or two. You start saying, well, you know, I got it right God's way, I did everything, and it's still coming against me, then God is trying to prepare me and teach me something here that I can't learn any other way. So, God, I give you the glory, and I give you the praise for it, right? It may be hard, maybe difficult, maybe unfair, but just like with Joseph, you know, God was using it to train. Same thing with Jesus. God was using all of it to get Christ crucified, and there was a God-divine purpose in it, and his injustice. Even the Jews killing him, when you understand what we've been talking about lately about how the Jews killed him, they were the only ones that could kill him. God had them kill him. Who could take the lamb up but the Jewish priesthood? Not the Romans. The Romans tried to set him free. They said, man, this guy's a good guy. We're not going to – even the wife of one of the leaders, right, Pilate's wife, had a dream. Don't touch this man. And he believed her. He knew she had dreams from God. He said, I don't want to touch this man. He's innocent. He washed his hands publicly. He said, I washed my hands. I'm clean. You guys want to do, you want to crucify him? You do it. So it was not Rome. Rome had to literally do it because under the law, under the system the Jews had, the Jews couldn't do it or they would have done it. They couldn't do it because, you know, they were offering up a man. They weren't offering up an animal. They were offering up a man, and they couldn't do that according to the law. So Rome had to do it, but Rome, it's proven fact that Rome was totally innocent. They even Pilate said, you guys do it yourself. This man is innocent. He is a holy man. He is a God. What else can you say? Well, you know, they put pressure on him and, you know, a riot and all that kind of thing. So God orchestrated all that Rome did do, put it in action. But the Jews were the ones who did it, and they're the only ones that could do it. That's not because they were evil. That's because God Almighty blinded them so that we would have a savior. So we need to thank those Jews for killing our Jesus, because if they had not killed him, like they killed the lamb in the Old Testament, that was the sacrifice for their sin. So we need to understand that, and the Jews need to understand it. That's the born again Jews. You know, but trying to say it's anti-Semitism to say that, you know, we killed Jesus. You did kill him. You did, but it was a God thing, man. As horrible as that is, and the Jews pay a horrible price for that, and therefore God's going to also reward them in a huge way in the end. And so there you go. So there's so much we could talk about with all this. But hopefully you're understanding some of this tonight, friend, and we're able to help you understand things. We come upon Passover and Easter and all that. All right, so we went into the law, what people got stoned for, just a few of them. A bunch of them. You'd be surprised what people are stoned for, man, and the reason of why they were. Look, listen, this one right here. A kidnapping, got killed for kidnapping. Licentiousness of a priest's daughter. Licentiousness of a priest's daughter. Did y'all hear that one? Yeah. Interesting. Some interesting things. All right, let's go here for a second. I want to look at one last thing before I move on. Promiscuous or unprincipled in sexual matters, disregarding accepted rules or conventions, especially. So if you, there's one more law here. This is stuff, I just looked at this stuff today. I didn't know all this stuff. Licentiousness of a priest's daughter. Look at this. Promiscuous and unprincipled in sexual matters toward a priest's daughter. Wow, look at that. They stoned him for that. Striking, cursing, or otherwise rebelling against parental authority. They stoned them for that. And there's a reason for it. And now, you know, people get saved and forgive, and we turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and the saving of their soul these days. That's what Paul did. That's how he dealt with it. All right, so I hope you learned something tonight. I hope you, things you probably already all knew, but we kind of put it together in a nutshell verse. And I didn't get anywhere near all the things they stoned people for. In the Old Testament, thank God we don't have that anymore, but we need to learn about it and see why they did it, understand God. So understand God and why Jesus changed everything, right? Yeah, we're trying to understand all this stuff. So there you go. You reap what you sow, and it's God's, not mock. So God is involved in all of it. If somebody dies because they're trying to destroy you or destroy your ministry or your business or your reputation, and they're trying to destroy it, it's a destructive seed that comes back. If it's not a destructive seed, it's going to come back a non-destructive seed. It'll come back in another form. It's going to come back exactly the way they sowed. There's not going to be any, you know, something. If you plant an apple seed, it's going to grow apples. It's not going to grow oranges, right? It's going to produce exactly what was planted. All right. All right. So let's get ready to take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. Give me just a moment. We'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Thank you for being with us tonight. I only have one call to hand up, so if you want to talk tonight, please get your hand up there. And we want to talk with you, share with you. But if I don't have anybody to talk to, I've got several callers here, but only one to hand up. So if I don't have any more callers to hand up here in a moment, I'll just take off the rest of the night. Yeah, remember, work less and get more done. Yeah, something like that. I don't know if that fits in or not, but I think it might. All right, so there we go. Thank you for being here tonight and being a part of PGN. And we talk about things, you know, we don't talk about anything spectacular most of the time, but we do talk about some pretty cool things, I think, that in a different fashion, a different way. We reveal things, I think, that a lot of things are not revealed, like why we acknowledge that the Jews did kill Jesus. It's like every lamb and the only ones that could kill a lamb. Well, you know, I don't know anybody's talked about that. I've never heard anybody talk about that. Actually, never anybody talked about that. It may be out there somewhere, but I have never seen it. So we talk about some pretty cool things sometimes. We learn some really nice things that help us understand stuff that, you know, people may never get. I don't know. We hope they get it. All right. But it's kind of cool when you come up with some, God gives you some really interesting stuff. I just love it. I really do love it. And it's really a lot of fun. Okay, so we're going to take our first caller tonight, 402-214. I'm coming at you. The only person that has their hand up is 402. So if you want to talk, visit, share, whatever, we'd love to talk to you. Can I talk about fleeces? Yeah, I don't know if I want to talk about it right now, but we may talk. If I don't get any callers with their hand up, I'll talk about fleeces. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to do that. Uh,
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, I did. I muted myself for a second there. Okay. Thank you. I am back. All right. So thank you for letting me know that. Tanisha said I have my hand up. I'm not sure not why it's showing. Okay. Is that 9? Are you 972 tonight, or what are you, 214? What are you? 111 maybe? Maybe you're 111. Oh, 214. There it is. Got it. 241. I see it. I see it. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Okay, Sharon. We're going to talk to Sharon. Talk to Sharon first. Sharon was first in line. And then we'll talk to Terrence and Tanisha, or Tanisha. And then 111 and then 804. We'll talk to y'all. Let's go here and see where. Now, you may have to hang on. We're going to just go with the flow, all right? I know y'all don't mind that. So I'll be right there with you. Thank you for letting me know. Yes, 214, gotcha now. I got it. Yeah, it is up. You're right. When I rebooted my internet thing connection, because I do everything mostly by my phone, my computer shows the screen, my switchboard. So I rebooted my internet thing. Got it. All right, we are loaded up, man. All right, let's take our first caller here. 402-214. We got Sharon on here tonight from New York. Are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Let's mute you for a second, and we'll pray for you, and I'll come back and you can talk all you want. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my friend tonight from New York. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for blessing her, for God, for her finding new ways to exercise her faith. Sometimes we exercise our faith the ways that we know, and that's pretty nice. And then God shows us ways to exercise our faith. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, if we need a deliverance thing going on in our life, or a healing thing going on in our life, or a prophecy thing going on, what do? Our faith gets built up, and we exercise our faith easier when we have somebody we know. That guy, he really does have a healing ministry. That person really does have a deliverance ministry. So it causes your faith to be released, right? Well, that person really does have a prophetic ministry. I know them. They have I've watched them for years. So when they come on, your faith gets stirred up. Because you know, you connect to them. So God's going to show you, you know, different ways. That's just one way. But different ways to activate your faith, either showing you new scripture, giving you signs that he's hearing your prayers, you know, to activate your faith. Different ways to activate your faith so you can activate your faith to the fullest. We all have, if we can activate our faith, Sharon, all the way with all the faith that we have, there's nothing impossible with God. And that's what we got to realize. Our faith has been given to us to activate what God has already paid for, what Jesus has already paid for. We don't have to pay for it. We just have to activate our faith and learn how to activate our faith. And when we do that, then we connect into whatever Jesus did, it becomes ours. No question about it. No, well, I'm not worthy enough. Now, if unworthiness comes in, it's because you're not activating your faith. Now, if you're taking communion and you're have an unworthiness thing there where you don't really want to forgive somebody, you can take communion anyway. Yeah, find out why you're not worthy, because you can be unworthy in that sense, because you're taking communion in an unworthy fashion means that you don't want to forgive somebody, you can take communion anyway. But if you want to forgive them, you're having trouble forgiving them, and you take communion to, you know, empower you to forgive them, you know, to strengthen you, to break the spirit of unforgiveness off of you, then communion is a beautiful thing. Yeah. So all these different ways to activate your faith. Anyway, all right, let's talk to her tonight. What's going on? Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I need my faith. I haven't had enough faith. That's why I worry. Wouldn't be worried if I had enough faith.
Hey. Sharon, hang on a second. I can hear the TV or something in the background.
Okay, let me go in. It's in the other room. Let me go look, and I'll turn it off.
I don't know. I can hear it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, hang on. Let me turn it off.
I will. I'll hang on. Okay.
Well, that's a sensitive mic, I guess, huh?
I guess so.
Oh. There, turned it off.
Wonderful. Okay. So what's going on, girl? How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I just you know, been fighting some illness, I think. Super tired all the time.
And, yeah, is your throat doing better? What's going on with your throat? Is your throat any better?
You know what? Yeah, but now, I mean, it seems better. It's
right.
Not completely gone, but I haven't gotten to the doctor, and now I found another, like a tumor or something in my lip area. I don't know what the heck it is. Yeah, like up high. I can feel it, you know, and the dentist said I had one in my gum that I had to go, so I don't know what's going on.
And you're afraid that, and the fear that's trying to hit you is that you smoke, so you're afraid you've got something in your, you know, whatever. Is that right?
Yeah. The thing that happened, it was like an injury, though, but, you know, that worries me. Oh, and I have,
of course,
I've been really having trouble with a relationship communication. I swear my phone is hacked. And I've got, I really think it is. I don't know. Maybe God will tell you. But people trying to interfere in something really good. So that's a real issue for me right now.
Well, one of the things we talked about tonight in our teaching was that, and Carmen sent me the scripture in Isaiah. Thank you, Carmen, for that. Okay, let's see. Okay, hang on a second. All right, so, Nicole says here, people are listening, they're going like, how can we help her? Oil of cloves can eradicate mouth sores and infections. It can be applied with a swab. Also, one of the things, just in the natural realm, we're going to pray, of course, and believe God, but one of the things I tell people that I've done for years is echinacea. And one of the reasons I do echinacea, Sharon, is because I don't go to the doctor either. I don't get x-rays of my body and not going to think, you know, MRIs or anything to keep a good check on my body. So one of the things I did years ago, I felt like God led me to take echinacea, which you buy at Walmart, really cheap, $4 for a bottle, lasts a long time. And if you take echinacea helps your immune system fight things like I've never seen anything fight. I've had toothaches, my mouth be swollen big, the dentist can't even do anything because my mouth's swollen so big. You know, I took echinacea, and it totally did away with it. I mean, fast. And so echinacea is the most powerful thing that helps your immune system without taking over your immune system and hindering your immune system. It is, and it's cheap, and make sure you get the Walmart brand if you do it, you know. Get the Walmart, not the Walmart brand, but the kind they have at Walmart. Hang on a second. Yeah, it's the Spring Valley kind. And the reason I tell people to do that is because I know that's the kind that works. And other people have taken other kinds and it didn't work very well. So I think the Spring Valley just may be a pure,
Yeah, I've seen that. That, Spring Valley. That's the brand, right?
Yeah, I think I personally think it helps take care of cancer too, and any kind of tumor trying to grow in your body. If you put echinacea in your body on a regular basis, which I have been doing it for like 10 years, people you shouldn't take it regular.
Yeah.
I've been taking it regular for 10, 12 years, so people can't tell me that. Yeah. So, and the reason I do that, honestly, the reason I did it was because I thought, well, what if I had something growing in my body and I don't know it? By faith in Jesus' name, I believe it's not going to happen. But what if there's something there? So that's the way I dealt with it. So I started taking echinacea. I did it because of a tooth problem once. I saw how effective it was. And then when I got sick with other things, you know, sometimes it would eradicate it almost immediately. Sometimes it would just help me from getting really sick. So I knew it was powerful. And so I started taking it on a regular basis to fight anything trying to grow in my body that I can't see. And that's one of the main reasons I've taken it all these years. And so far, by the grace of God, I've been very blessed.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing about this is I don't have a sore or anything. I only found it because I was pushing down. It's inside. There's no sore on the inside of my mouth or the outside on my lip. It's up above my lip. But it's inside there. There's a net, you know. That's why I say it's a cyst or, you know, maybe a pocket of infection or something. I don't know. This happened.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not a doctor person either. I love doctors.
Right.
I finally got a doctor after years. I finally got a doctor about 6 months ago that just gave me a regular checkup, took my blood pressure, and I officially got a doctor just so I could, you know, so in case I ever wanted to have something done. You know, I mean, I haven't had a doctor in many, 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 many years, so I'm not against them, but I just don't like the fact that most of them are pharmaceutical. They're drug salesmen, a lot of them, so I'm not really into that. But, that's been my thing. So I would highly recommend, I even told people I think it stops. It can, if you hit it soon, quick enough, this is my personal opinion. I'm not giving medical advice. I'm just giving you my experience. I think that it stops things from infections, especially infections. It is the most powerful thing toward infections that I've ever seen in my life. But you have to do it the way I tell you to do it. Go ahead.
Well, how much did you take for your weight, you know, your body?
Well, I'm 230 pounds, 6 foot, 230. I'm big boned. I take when I have a problem, if I got a tooth problem or if I got an ache in my or some kind of something that's if I scratch myself and my body's not healing good, you know, or the flu's trying to hit me, I take four of them every 4 hours for a couple of days, and then I break it off into four.
How many milligrams each pill?
760 milligrams. I'm reading it right. 760 milligrams per serving.
Okay, and is a serving one pill or two pills?
Two pills.
Okay. That gives me an idea of how much.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I just I take four of them when I have something hit me. I take four of them every 4 hours, and believe me, I mean it's amazing how it's worked for me big time. I tell people about it all the time, and I've been healed by God.
Right. No, I knew. I remember
all kinds of ways, but yeah, I would highly recommend that for any, especially infection things, anything trying to grow in your body that you can't see or anything in your body that is growing that you can see. I think it will, if you will do it and do it like I tell you to do it, that it will definitely deal with it big time.
Well, I will. Yeah, I would like to, because I want something natural for infection, you know.
Yeah.
Garlic is great for the lungs, but.
Garlic is really good, yeah.
But, you know, it's got to be raw, and you got to eat it right away while it still smells.
Well, the best way to do, Nikki from Florida taught me, and I've experimented with this, and it works really. You chop it up real good, and you let it set for about 10, 15 minutes, and the oils activate in it. I tried that, and I couldn't believe how much more powerful it was.
Right. Well, it's the stuff that the – enzyme that makes it work is what makes it smell, you know, that strong garlic smell. That's the curative power right there. And so you can't cook it, and you have to eat it at least no more than 15 minutes after you cut it up, because then it dissipates. Then the oils are gone, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what does it. I mean, no pills. Pills don't work. It has to be the real thing.
Right.
At least for that healing.
Well, your poor dog had to put up with you smelling like a garlic. So what's up with that? It's no problem.
Yeah. No, it's all right. She loves me. Hey, I got to tell you. You want to hear something good? All of the prayers for Dana She started a new job today. A new job in another area. Yeah. And I mean, the whole department she left is going to fall apart, I'm telling you. But this new job, it's like she feels like a real person. You know, they were all so nice, and it's just beautiful. And, you know, it's real close to her house, like the 20-minute walk. And, and she can drive, and there's a parking lot. I mean, that a parking lot is, like, you know, unheard of in New York City. So, and it's free, you know. It's not, I mean, the blessings on this are just unbelievable. And she gets to do class action lawsuits and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
None of all new stuff. Yeah. She's going to be working with federal law and state law. And yeah, she's really excited. She just can't get over it. The peace.
That is
the
so
peace.
Awesome.
It's office. Yeah. So God definitely intervened.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, because, and it's still with the city. It actually, she's with the Department of Corrections. So she's going to be working with the EEOC and just all kinds of stuff. But it's real lawyer stuff, you know, a variety. And, I mean, the office, beautiful. It's in the same building with the museum and artwork everywhere. And there's a cafeteria. It's just it's like a real place, not like the claustrophobic place she was at, you know?
Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! That's awesome, man. That's a big thing right there.
Yeah, it is. It's a big miracle.
So, well, you've been praying, and people are praying, and she just honored her faith, I'm sure, and her life.
That's why she didn't get the other jobs, because this was coming up.
Okay.
So
awesome.
We kind of said that anyway, you know, because she does that.
Yeah.
But so that's great. And guess what? It's like 2 blocks from my grandson's high school. So she could actually, he could like walk to her office and she can drive him home. Or they can take the bus together or something. You know, I mean, it's just great.
Yeah.
And she can get home at like 5:15. I mean, this child, times when the kids were in bed before she'd get home from her other job. And so she's so excited to be able to help him with homework. And, you know, it's just, she's thrilled. And what was the other really great thing about it? It's, well, they're all treated really great. And everybody, they threw her a big party, you know. Everybody's so happy for her to get the hell out of there because everybody saw the way she was treated and how good she is. And even some of her clients, you know, the foster parents and stuff and the kids, they wrote her a card.
Yeah. Wow.
They were really
sweet.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. Prayer answered.
Okay.
Would you say a prayer for my friend that I've been having the trouble with?
Oh, you
Kevin.
With? Okay.
That's
Kevin.
With the communication and everything, it's just been.
Okay. All right. Don't forget that echinacea stuff. Okay. I guess are you for basic food?
I have to wait till I get some money, though. I can't afford it.
Oh, you can too. Come on. Put your dog
I don't.
To work.
I have $2. I have $2.50. That's all I have.
Well,
$2.
On your way down there, somebody's going to give you a couple of dollars.
Well.
All right. Let's pray for you. All right, let's pray for you.
Okay.
I'm going to mute you, and then we'll pray for you. Thank you. All right. For your friend Kevin, thank you for Kevin, God. We just thank you for Kevin, God, that you give Kevin compassion for her and her, give her compassion for him, that they'll have compassion on each other, they'll have understanding for each other, understanding, you know, where they're at emotionally, spiritually, maturity, and, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with people that have believed the same thing for a long time, you have to understand, you know, what you're dealing with. You're dealing with somebody who may be right about a lot of things and you may be wrong. So you got to consider that. And so I thank you, Lord, for helping him to understand, get understanding towards Sharon. And Sharon, get understanding toward him. They will understand each other and disarm those, the extracurricular stuff, the stuff that the unnecessary things that go on, that will be disarmed by understanding, by choosing the right words to say or not to say, you know, to disarm the thing or, you know, to get things going and get things working the right direction so they can start working things out instead of, you know, wanting to box each other's ears or whatever they do. And we thank you, Jesus, for that and for your love for them, for love for Kevin, God, that you'll give him the wisdom and how to understand, wisdom and how to deal with, you know, another human being, and especially with Sharon. And I hate for him to have to deal with me, man. That might be really rough. I don't know. But anyway, so thank you, Jesus, for that and giving her your love and your mercy and your grace, and give Kevin your love and mercy and grace. Show him your ways, God. Teach him the ways of God so they will understand that you are Lord, and life can be worked out if we understand each other, seek to understand each other, and love each other in Jesus' name. Amen. Help her with her mouth, not your talking mouth, but your mouth situation, that little bump. Help her get some echinacea. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name. We take authority over those, over those things going on in her body. In Jesus' name, I curse those things at the root. I command those things to dry up now. I command her immune system and her body to come to full fruition, to bear forth fruit of, you know, changing her body and doing away with infection like her immune system is supposed to do, and help her do things to help her immune system instead of hindering her immune system. So we're talking about her immune system. Your immune system is like Jesus' healing power. I mean, it's internal Jesus' healing power in a sense. It's not really Jesus' healing power, but he gave us our immune system. So it came from everything that was created. It was created through the Lord, through Jesus, through the Word. So we thank you, God, in St. John 1, verse 3, I think, that nothing was created without the Word. So everything was created, and your immune system was created by God. It's like healing virtue, your own personal healing virtue from God, your immune system to fix things and repair things. And amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Cleanse her and wash her by your precious blood, Lord, and open her up to, you know, the new place of your friendship and your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace and your tender loving care for my friend Sharon, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 214-646. I think it's Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha.
Oh, TNT. Triple T's. TNT from T, from Texas. All right.
Triple T.
The triple T. Triple T. All right, Sharon says thank you. Sharon says thank you. You're welcome, Sharon. We love you, girl. We're praying for you. Your immune system will kick in, that God-given immune system for you, and you'll help find ways to help it through food, through different things, and all that, so you'll be safe and healthy. All right, what are y'all doing over there? What's up?
Hey, Randy.
Did I see?
Just enjoying the show. I really like tonight's message.
Oh, did you? Cool. What in particular? What part? It's probably things that we all kind of know, but maybe putting it together in a package. Well, what part did you like most? Tell me. Make me feel good.
It's something that God has really been working on me on this, like It's something that we teach a lot on our show about, you know, don't be deceived.
Oh, really?
God won't be mocked whatsoever. Yep. We teach, that's a scripture that we teach a lot, that, you know, because for the word to say, don't be deceived, means that you can't be deceived. And if God says he's not going to be mocked, you can't mock him. And like you said, it's a spiritual law that's in place. So you reap what you sow, whether good, bad, or ugly. You know, people tend to always use it in the negative, but it's even the positive that people reap what they sow.
Yeah.
But this particular scripture is talking about, you know, when you sow in the flesh, you know, you're going to reap in the flesh. And you were talking about how when people come against you and that kind of thing and lie, and this is, again, something that God has personally been dealing with me, because I like to think I don't like to wish nothing on nobody, and God has been telling me it's not you wishing things on people. It's people sowing their own seed. Like, you don't force anybody to sow a particular seed. You pray for people. You hope the best for them. But when you see somebody keep reaping, you know, keep sowing a bad seed, at some point God is going to deal with it. And this is something that, again, this is something that God has been dealing with me, because, you know, Terrence and I have been dealing with we've dealt with that situation, being lied on, reputations being tarnished, that kind of thing, leaving it to God to deal with, and still dealing with that. Like, literally, it still hasn't stopped. And God has said he's going to deal with it. And it makes me feel bad sometimes, even though I know that it's not me. Like you said, it's not God saying, oh, you know, this person's so special, my super Christian, I'm going to protect them. No, it's just, it's a law. So if a person keeps breaking the law, then eventually, you know, the law is going to deal with them. You know, even in the natural, you can't keep breaking the law, or, you know, sometimes in the natural, people will break the law and the judge will be very lenient on them. But if they keep doing it, you know, the stakes get higher, the punishment gets harsher. And God has told me that he's going to deal with a particular situation that is still, it's still going on. It's been literally years, like years. And still going on, and been praying for the situation, praying for the person, and they will not stop. And God has told me he's going to deal with it. And so this message was like confirmation for me to, like, just let things be. You know, it's not me forcing it. It's just, hey, when the person doesn't want to stop, it is what it is. So enjoyed it, because, I mean, it's just pure scripture, and, you know, it's confirmation that I don't need to feel any type of way about it. Because I know that I've been doing my part, you know, praying and really hoping the best. Yeah. And when you see no change, then, hey.
and it's put in place so that, now there is injustice where God allowed injustice with certain people. You know, like we talked about Joseph and Jesus, Christ was supposed to be crucified. The Jews had to be the one to do it because they were legally chosen by God to offer the lamb up. And that, so there are special situations, but there also is, you know, times of special protection, like Sarah. Remember when Sarah was, when they went to Egypt, and God just told Abraham, he said, you know, I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you, right? Well, he gets there, and maybe he didn't understand it yet, you know, he'd never been told that before. So he says, yeah, she's my sister, and so Pharaoh takes her into his court, you know, because, you know, Pharaoh didn't do anything wrong. Right? He did nothing wrong. That's what I love about, I love this story, man. Pharaoh did nothing wrong. And yet, for Sarah's sake, we're talking about a special case here, for Sarah's sake, he plagued the whole family. They couldn't have children. And in those particular situations, you know, Pharaohs and all the kingdoms, the reason they want to have a bunch of children is because they wanted to take over, you know, they wanted to multiply so that they'd be strong and their future would be strong. So they wanted to have babies. They looked for beautiful women to have babies with, so their grandchildren would be beautiful, you know, and smart. So they loved Sarah because she was beautiful. And Abraham even said, man, baby doll, you know, you're so hot. When we get up there to Egypt, they're going to want you. So we're going to have to get this thing going on. So even though Pharaoh did nothing wrong, he protected her in a special way. Why? Why did he protect her like that? Because she was, you know, one of God's chosen? Well, no, not so much as it was that she was going to be the one who's going to bring forth Isaac, that's going to bring forth Jacob, that's going to bring forth Joseph, that's going to bring, you know, and the seed's going to bring Jesus. So he was protecting her because she had been chosen, or their generation, their people had been chosen to bring forth the Messiah. And in particular, she was going to be the one that was going to bring forth, you know, Isaac, the promised child, you know, which he offered up to, you know, God later, which became type of Christ. So he was protecting her in a very special way because her purpose was special, if you will. But either way you look at it, like you said, we talk about tonight, be not deceived. God is not lying. Whatsoever. It doesn't matter what. If you sow a seed, it's going to come back to you. So we know that it's going to happen. The only thing we can do is teach people to not put out deceitful seed or, you know, lying seed or whatever they're doing, because if they keep doing it, they could eventually even be killed, you know, or or whatever. It could end their life. I've seen it happen where people just kept on. They knew better and they did it anyway. And it was out. They were out trying to destroy somebody that they thought they had a right to, you know, do whatever they thought because they listened to lies. And they tried to literally take them down. And I'm talking about me as one of them and others that I've known about. And, you know, God dealt harshly with them because, you know, of the situation with the person that they were dealing with wasn't just the normal, you know, everyday human being who, you know, that had a calling from God. If you have a calling from God and God's getting something done in your life and you have been obedient and been chosen by him and you've been walking with him for years and he saved you for a certain time, believe me, he's going to go, if you will, like with Sarah, out of his way to protect you. That we do have those situations, but you know, but also it doesn't really matter who you are. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. So yeah, it's really interesting teaching.
Amen. Yep, it's good stuff, and I like how you even challenge us to, you know, think about the things that we're doing, because we don't escape our sins, you know. They're gonna blossom, and sometimes we don't know what's going on. We'll try to figure out, like, why do I keep dealing with the same thing? And it's because we haven't gotten things right. We haven't even acknowledged, you know, the things that we've done. And you know, the word says that the truth will make you free. You know, when you're not operating in truth, maybe because you don't know it, maybe it's hidden, maybe you're in denial, whatever the reason is. There's always going to be bondage when you don't operate in the truth. And so we have to always be asking God to search our hearts and our motives and to bring things to light. I really like, too, how you talked about we need to condemn the lying tongue.
Yeah.
When people, you know, that's something that we don't remember, but it's scripture. You know, we do need to do that because it can and will, like you said, it will cause problems. And even though the weapons that the person are forming against you won't prosper, but the stress that can come along with it can cause all sorts of health problems. You know, you might not be able to sleep at night because you're stressed out about it, and the lack of sleep causes problems. Like, I mean, it could really have a snowball effect. And so it is important to remember to do that because you don't want any problems. You don't want to be dealing with the effects of somebody doing something against you in any way. So I like that you put that in there too about condemning those, you know, those tongues that are lying on you and coming against you. We need to, as a body of Christ, remember to do that, to shut things down.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times when I know people are doing things, sometimes it doesn't really affect me. Other times it really does. And I even gave somebody a word last week. I think it was Chris from Texas said, you know, when you come into a spiritual warfare where you're actually moving mountains one way or the other with God, believe me, condemnation from the devil or judgment, he will use people to pray against you, and they don't even know what they're doing. In other words, they don't really realize that the devil, just like Peter was being used by the devil to say, Jesus, you can't die. You know, the devil, and Jesus had to say, Peter, he understood flesh and blood. Wasn't the instigator of it, but the devil behind him was doing it. So he had to rise up and condemn that tongue. You know, that's what he did. He rose up and he condemned that tongue. And even though Peter did not know what he was doing, still Peter was being used. And this happens all the time, as you know, Tanisha. People get, I'm sure that I've done my share of it too. You know, we do things out of ignorance. That's why we need to ever learn and come to the knowledge of the truth, because if we don't, we'll keep reaping things and we don't even know why we're doing it because we're ignorant of it or we're blind or whatever. So yeah, you're so right. We have to examine ourselves and ask God to show us, you know, am I reaping this because, you know, I'm doing something I don't know about? I don't mean to judge somebody. Am I judging somebody unrighteously because somebody spread a rumor about them and I really knew that person was a reputable person and they said something about them and they're reputable and I know they're reputable? But maybe they didn't get all the truth, and maybe I'm believing something about somebody that's half-baked, and here I am reaping something because I believe it without going to asking God. You know, number one, I shouldn't be talking bad about them anyway. but the fact that I listen to a half-baked lie from a reputable person, that's the biggest deception the devil uses, is reputable people passing along half-baked information, right? That's one of the biggest ones. That's one of the wolf and sheep clothing things, is that people think they're telling you the truth. They really believe it. Therefore, they look innocent because they believe they are innocent. And they're telling you a lie of something that they really believe because somebody told them. And so it looks innocent. It looks really good. And it's a tremendous strategy of hell. Peter was totally innocent of what he did. He didn't know what he was doing, but Satan did. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus rose up. And believe me, Jesus didn't just spend his time rebuking Satan off of Peter. He said, you know, Satan, get behind me. He wasn't blaming Peter for it. Peter was being used. He knew, if I do not rise up and take authority over that, because what was the big battle with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane? What was his big battle? Can this cup pass from me? In other words, the very thing that Satan was using Peter to tell him was something that he was struggling with. Obviously, it was known at the Garden of Gethsemane when it came time to do it. You know, Peter was arguing with him. Jesus, you can't die. The Messiah can't die. And it was Satan himself using the teaching that the Jewish people taught, the leaders taught, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to rule on the throne. He's not going to ever die. So Satan was using something that the Jewish people believed and that was even in the Bible, but was misunderstood. They misunderstood that. And so they were using a scripture. Now, what's the deception in this? I'll say to you. He used a scripture that was taught in the people of that generation, Peter's generation, that the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to rule the throne of David. Says nothing about him dying, nothing about him going to the cross, just the opposite of that. So what was Satan doing? Satan was using something that they all believed, misunderstood, and he knew it, and he was quoting it through Peter, getting Peter to come against his friend whom he loved, didn't even know what he was saying, and it was the very thing that Jesus was struggling with, which was revealed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he struggled with that very thing. So if he hadn't have risen up, Tanisha, and said, Satan, get behind me, no telling what that could, how that could have influenced him more than it did at the garden already. So he was already puking that thought because it was tempting him, you know, as we saw in the Garden of Gethsemane. So see what I'm saying? It was a scripture. It was actually a scripture that was misunderstood, that was for the future and not for then, for the Messiah that was, that when Jesus comes back in a second, that's when he's going to do that. Not the Messiah who's going to die for the people. And so they use scripture, they use tradition, and believe me, it was powerful. And Jesus had to rise up and condemn that thought, or it would have messed with him.
Wow.
So
I never put those two together. That is amazing.
It is amazing because I just put it together right now. The Lord did. He's trying to teach us something, girl. I mean, oh, my gosh. You know you guys know this, too, but during the show, I get stuff all the time. People think I already know, and I'm going like, duh, I didn't know that at all, I promise. It just kind of all connected during the Spirit of Revelation. But isn't it cool? I mean, when you think about that, that's why we have to rise up. Now, some things didn't bother Jesus. You know, sometimes he never said, I get behind me, say, you know. He just kind of, you guys are crazy. You know, y'all get over it later. It didn't bother him. But that one thing, see, it's the thing, a weapon formed against you, Tanisha. It's the weapon formed against you. What was the weapon formed against Jesus? If they could have kept him from giving his life, we wouldn't have a Savior, right? So what was the weapon formed against Jesus? Satan was using it through Peter, through his innocent friend, who didn't have a clue what he was doing. Jesus didn't wrestle with flesh and blood. He knew the principality and the power. He went right to it. He said, I rebuke you. Get behind me, Satan. And he kind of let Peter know, you're not saving the things that are of God. You're saving the things that are of man. In other words, men have been teaching you this, but you haven't got that from the Father. So he had to rise up and rebuke it because it was the weapon. There was some weapons. The reason he had to fight that with Tanisha was because it was the weapon that Satan tried to use with him, even in the Garden of Eden. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, you see Jesus, as we said earlier, where he's saying, you know, Father, can this cup pass from me? What cup? The very thing that Satan was using Peter was a weapon formed against Jesus, because Satan already knew that he was struggling with that. And it was revealed out of his own mouth. It wasn't gossip. It wasn't some of the disciples said, Jesus, I bet you're getting really scared about this, aren't you? You know, and it came out of his own mouth. You know, and so that was a weapon that was formed against Jesus. And that's what the scripture says. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Let me read it. I think Carmen sent it to me here. There we go. There we go. Isaiah 54:17. This is for somebody tonight. Maybe for all of us. Maybe for a few. I don't know. King James, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. Remember, there are some weapons that are made to hit your weaknesses, the things that you struggle with the most. You may not be doing them or not. It's not necessarily about a sin. It may be something that you struggle with. Maybe everybody else is doing that one thing, but God told you not to do it, and you can't drink orange juice. God says don't drink orange juice. Well, everybody else drinks orange juice, and I love orange juice, and now I can't drink orange juice because God told me. So what's that? The weapon formed against you is, you know, everybody else doing it, you know, but God says don't do it, we don't do it. So there are weapons that are formed against us, the very thing that God, you know, calls us to do, that's important, that's transitional, that's breakthrough power for us. That's the thing that he forms against us. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We got to say this. I pray this stuff when I feel it coming on me, and I know it's something that I'm weak in, something that can take me down. I don't play with it. I rise up in the name of Jesus. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Against Randy Chandler shall prosper. Every tongue that rise against me, whether it's through Peter or through my friends or through people that love me, I'm telling you, you know this, Tanisha. I have people that love me, and go, well, Randy, you know, and they just the same thing. And I have to rise up and say, Satan, get behind me. That's a weapon. Anything else just falls off of me, right? But those certain things, that it's a weakness, it's a thing in me that I've struggled with, that I battle with, that condemn. Maybe I condemn myself with those particular things, or maybe I struggle with those thoughts myself. And so he knows right when to hit me when I'm down. You know, you do remember when, yeah, that you remember, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know about that. Satan, I don't know who's praying for me. I don't know if anybody's praying for whatever's going on. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, what's the purpose of judgment? To send you to jail, to send you to prison, to send you to hell, to send you anywhere but where God wants you. That's what the judgment is for. That rises against thee in judgment. So we've got to understand what judgment means in order to understand the power of this and why Jesus had to rise up in that particular thing instead of just going on, no big deal. No, that one was a weapon formed against you. Now, Satan, get behind me. I'm going to go to the cross because my Father has asked me. I've got to go. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to do it. What's happening? He gets the Garden of Gethsemane. What's the very thing he's struggling with? Well, God, you know, Father, you know, if this cup can pass from me, you know, hey. So you know that was a weapon formed against you. We have to condemn those judgments, y'all. You have to literally rise up, condemn them. Somebody may be praying for you. It may not have nothing to do with anybody praying for you. It may be Satan using somebody to talk innocently. They're talking about you. You know, if Tanisha really knew, if Terrence really, if Randy really knew, you know, I mean, that, I you know, that, you know, and the Satan's using them to send those judgments to you. And if you do not, and those ones that are weapons for me, if you do not rise up and condemn them, they will mess with you. They will oppress you. They'll give you a headache. They'll cause you to have a bad day. And if you keep having bad days, eventually you may yield to that judgment and start judging yourself the way they're judging you. Like Jesus could have been going, well, you know, well, maybe I don't need to go to the cross. You know, maybe they are right. Maybe, you know, I am going to rule the throne for it. Maybe God's got a different plan like he had with Isaac, where I'm going to be willing to go. Abraham raised the knife, And God said, got right to his throat and said, oh, you don't have to do it. Maybe that's going to happen. You see what I'm saying? There's all kinds of things mm-hmm. that could have been going through his head that were very legal, very things that like what happened to Isaac. Isaac didn't really have to go to the cross. Did Isaac really have to die? No. But in God's eyes, he died. Why? Because Abraham was doing it. He did it. The angel just stopped him. He said, because you did it in your heart, it's done. So Jesus, I think, one of the things it could have been was that, you know, I'm willing to go three times, because three times he said, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I'm willing to go, Father. Just kind of like Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac, but you didn't make him do it. So if we're going to do that thing, you know, okay, that would be cool. Because I am willing to die for you. You know that. Three times he did it. Not once. This is the Son of God we're talking about. This is a mature Son of God, flowing in the Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles, wisdom coming out of his mouth. You know, he defeated Satan in the wilderness. I mean, conquering. The same conquering person was standing there going, well, you know, if this cup can pass for me, because maybe like Isaac, we don't have to actually go through it. I just have to be willing. You see the battle that he could have been going through, because he revealed the battle he was going through when he openly rebuked Satan right there with Peter. Get behind me. Because he was struggling with it.
Wow.
Anyway. So Isaiah 54:17 says, the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness is of me. This is our heritage. It's our heritage to what? Condemn those tongues that judge us. They've already made judgments of us. I know people with me personally that have already made judgments of me of things that they don't even have a clue what they're talking about. But for some other reason, I don't know what the reason is, they've decided to do whatever they're going to do. And the only thing I can do about it, it's not constant, but it hangs over me, you know, in different ways. That's why I talk about this tonight, because I know what it's like to have, you know, when the enemy stirs people up to take you down, because, you know, if God's really using you or getting ready to use you like he was with Sarah to bear forth the son, that's when he plagued all of Pharaoh's innocent. The innocence of Pharaoh got plagued. Why? Because he was protecting her in a very special way, because she's going to bear forth the Messiah eventually. You know, and other people like Joseph, you know, they were, you know, it was Jesus, you know, they conspired against him. They did all kinds of things, and it looked like it worked. But it all was doing something. So we have to, you know, not yield to that judgment, that weapon that is formed against us. And it was formed against Jesus. And thank God he went to the cross anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God the Jews. Of course, they conspired against him like crazy, but that they did kill him. I see that more now than ever, that the Romans did not do it. They physically did it, but they sit there and said, you know, hey man, he's innocent. He's a pure man. He's a holy man. That one lady had a dream. He's a holy man. And they didn't want to touch him. And the Jews said, crucify him, or we're gonna riot, you know. And they put him in a position where, yeah, so anyway, I'm going to stop right there. With that.
Yeah, I remember when you did a teaching on that, about how there was a certain type of Jew that would do the sacrifice in the animal sacrifice, and so the Jews had to do it. Like, when you did that teaching, that was, my mind was blown. I was like, wow.
Me too. I couldn't believe God told me that. I mean, I'm sitting there watching a Jewish program on TV with Jonathan Barnes. I never watched Jonathan Barnes. You know, he's okay, but he's a little bit too, I don't know what he is. I just don't really enjoy him that much. And I just happened to watch him that night, and he said, yeah, we Jews, we didn't kill Jesus. I'm going like, it just kind of hit me, you know. Anyway, so I said, yeah, I think they did. Well, maybe they didn't, so let me look. So I just started looking. It was right before a show. It was about Easter time, because they were talking about it, because it was Passover time. And that's where I get that revelation was from that. I said, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. That was mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Very revelatory. And God's been telling me to bring it up more now because it helps people fight anti-Semitism because they can't figure out, well, I thought the Jews did. They can't make up their mind. Did the Jews kill him or not? And they try to, they say, oh, no, they're so innocent because they're God's people. They don't realize it has nothing to do with any of that.
Right. Focus on the wrong stuff.
They had to do it.
Yeah, yeah, it was
amazing.
A requirement.
Yeah. I mean, even the high priest that year, you know, Caiaphas, he even prophesied it right there. He said, Jesus must die for the people. You know, and when the high priest was the one who took the blood, and when they got the lamb in the Old Testament, he's the one who took the blood into the Holy of Holies. He's the only one that could take it there. If anybody else tried to take it, they'd die. It didn't matter who they were. It could have been the king. It could have been David. It could have been anybody. But only one person that was a high priest could take that blood into the Holy of Holies for the forgiveness of sins for that year. And so the same thing with Caiaphas. When I saw that with Caiaphas, I thought, oh, my God. It blew my mind when I thought, oh, my God, the high priest, he actually said Jesus' blood is going to have to be taken into the Holy of Holies. He's going to have to be crucified. I mean, he didn't say the blood would be taken holy, but because I understood the law and how God used the high priest to do certain things. Only a high priest could do certain things. Not even the regular priest could do it. Had to be the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we have to crucify him. He has to pay the price for, you know. So when I saw that, I just went, oh, my God, that sealed the deal. Yeah, they had to kill him. And the Jews aren't bad or evil because they did it. God blinded them because if they didn't do it, if the Romans would have been up to it, we wouldn't have a Savior, Tanisha. If the Romans would have been up, they would have said, hey, let him go. He's innocent. And that's what they said, and they believed it. If that had been up to them, we wouldn't have a Savior, and I wouldn't be saved, and neither would you. Especially Terrence. Terrence wouldn't be saved either. We'd be lost, man. On our way to hell. If it had been up to the Romans. So the Romans didn't have nothing to do with it. You know? As far as, you know, it was an act of God through the Jews. And if they could have done it, according to the law, wouldn't let them do it. You know, they could take a lamb, but they couldn't take a human being lamb. And that's why the Romans did have to do it, but make sure that we understand that even they said, he is a holy man. What has he done wrong? They kept saying, what has he done wrong? He's innocent. They kept saying, crucify him. Yeah, why? But not because they're evil or bad, but because God said, I'm getting Tanisha and Terrence and Randy a savior because they're going to need it real bad. You know, or at least me and Terrence might need it. I don't know. Terrence might have been pretty good. I was a pretty messed up person, so I needed it really bad. But, you know, if it had been for the Romans, I wouldn't be saved, man. I wouldn't have a Savior. They didn't let him go. But the Jews cried out. Why? Because God said, I'm getting you a Savior, guys. Yeah. He's awesome. He's the only one worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't hear Terrence singing hallelujah in the background. What's wrong? Something going on there?
Hmm? So you don't hear you
well,
singing hallelujah in the background.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, oh, come on, we need more than one. At least three or four, my God.
Hallelujah. Absolutely.
I know you got a lot of hallelujahs, Eva. That is so...
Man, Tanisha was rubbing on my back because my back been bothering me and I dozed off. I'm sorry.
Oh. What exactly... Tanisha, that was very nice of you to try to take care of your husband's pains. What part of your back is it? Your lower back? Your hip? Your what part is it?
Yeah, the lower. Most of my pain being the lower region around the L1, L2, and up at the top around the neck. I got some issues up there, but other than that, I pressed through. But, you know, she got the healing hand. It's like warm.
Right, right. Is that from injuries or just from you know, life?
I say it's more so from life.
Okay.
From all the stuff that I did, you know, military, sports, and barbering, it just all added up. And
right.
It kind of like, it's with me every day. And so I kind of overlook a lot, but, you know, I press through. But I hurt every day. It's not a day I wake up where I'm not, like, uncomfortable. It's sometimes fashion, but.
I hate that, man. I don't like pain. I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it either.
Yeah. I know. Let's just pray for you about that. We just thank you, Jesus, right now for touching my brother tonight. God, we know you that we are worthy because we are your children. When we're not born again, we're not worthy of anything. But when we're your children, we're going to say our children are not worthy of our presence and our love and our affection and our healing virtue if we had some to give. No, we're worthy of it in the sense that we are his child. You know, we're not just outcasts, you know, who, oh, let them come on in, you know, because they're like, you know. No, we are children of the living God. In that sense, we are worthy of it because of we're born again children of God. Lord, I thank you that that because of, like the Bible says, do not eat the when we do communion, do not take communion unworthily. So in other words, we can eat it worthily. That'll teach a big thing right there. If we can eat communion worthily, that means we can receive healing in a worthy fashion from Jesus, because we're not perfect, but we, you know, forgive. If we don't want to forgive, we want to forgive. So help us to want to forgive. So whatever the state you're in, whatever a person's state is right now, you know, you can become worthy. That's what it says in the Corinthians about the body of Jesus. Eating the body and drinking his blood, you can be worthy of that. Oh, no, nobody can ever be worthy. I said those words many times, but I used to believe it. So now, the Bible says, do not eat his body and drink his blood unworthily. So what do? How do we become worthy? We say, Jesus, I want to forgive that person. Help me to want to forgive him. I want to do good to that person no matter what. Help me, Jesus. You know, forgive me my sins. Forgive me for not forgiving to other people. And whatever the thing is in our life. Then when we do that, then we eat the body worthy. So I thank you, Jesus, that Terrence eats your body. We come to you, the healing virtue of Jesus, as a worthy child of God. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that because of that, in that sense, he comes before you worthy, Father. We eat the lamb worthy. We check ourselves out. Are we worthy of this? Yeah, we are, because we said, God, we need help. Jesus, we can't do it without you. That's what makes us worthy. Dependent on him. Trusting him. In Jesus' name, be thou made whole. In the name of Jesus. I command his spinal cord, everything, his hips, all the area in that hip area. I command those things to scrape any leg issues that are one leg shorter than the other one or longer than the other one. I command those leg to grow out right now. In Jesus' name, be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Be made whole in the name of Jesus, because we are worthy, because we come before you, forgiven, born again. We're doing all we know to serve you, Jesus. We don't have any deliberate, willful things. We're just kind of doing because we just feel like it. We're not deliberate, willful, rebellious children. Terrence is a willing, obedient servant who I'm sure is not perfect, just like I'm not perfect. But we don't come because we're perfect. We come because we're worthy, because we want to walk with you, Jesus. We are walking with you the best we know how. And that makes us worthy to receive the body and the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, you guys, anything else before I move on here? And let Terrence go to sleep?
Man, oh, I needed that. That was rich, you know. I'm just always amazed how the Holy Spirit just moves, because, like, how he pinpoints the exact areas. You know, Lord,
wow.
you mentioned the hip, because I got, when I went to the doctor and he did the x-ray on my back, I'm gonna show you the x-ray, Randy, so we're gonna laugh about it one day. But how,
okay.
I was like, whose skeleton is that?
Yeah.
And he says, yours.
Oh, my God.
I said, nah, you playing a joke. But when he showed me the skeleton, it showed how my hips was unaligned and how, you know, the vertebrae was, he said it's equivalent to sitting down in a wheelchair and pushing forward but turning going one direction.
Oh, wow.
So it's like you're sitting, like you pushing to go in the wheelchair, but only one wheel is stuck, but you move into one direction. And so
right. That's
how he mentioned it was equivalent to how my alignment is right now.
Right.
And like,
it might hurt.
I press through, so you really can't tell it. My wife, she notices, but, you know, I press. I learn to keep pressing, Randy, because I do know God to be a healer. And
sure.
I know it's an appointed time that it's going to manifest. And so I just keep holding on, man. That's it. Because I know it's done. I know it's done. But I'm just, it's that appointed time. So whatever things I have to go through to get to that point, I won't be shocked when it happens because I'm expecting it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, you know, I never thought about that worthy thing until tonight, as far as putting it together with feeling worthy. I'm like, what's a worthy thing all about? I think we all deal with that
mm-hmm.
to a certain degree. You know, like, you see scriptures that says, you know, Jesus, this man is truly worthy for you to come to his house because he helped, you know, the Gentile who helped build the Jewish temple for the Jews. He said, Lord, they said, Lord, he's worthy for you to come. And Jesus didn't say, no, he's not worthy. Because it's not being unworthy, I think, is of his stuff is when we're not born again, then we're not his children. But when we become his children, there's a whole different kind of worthiness that kicks in. And when you read that about the communion, which is all about Christians taking communion, right? And it says, don't take it unworthily. Well, that means that we have to become worthy to receive it, you know? In other words, you know, so I never thought about that until tonight. That was pretty cool for me. But, so, Lord, we thank you that Terrence and I and Tanisha, we know that we're not perfect. We know that we're struggling. We know we battle with things. We have all kinds of stuff going on. But we love you, Jesus, and we want to serve you. We want to do everything right. You know we want to, and we're working on it. And because of that, Lord, we're worthy. We're not obstinate, rebellious children. We're wanting to, you know, we willingly obey you whenever we know to do it. So, therefore, we are worthy in that sense. So, we thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, I felt the anointing right there. Something just happened on my left side. I mean, my right side. The right side of my right leg, my right, even my right arm, the right side of your body. I just speak to the right side of your body. Sometimes we may have something going on that we don't know that may be affecting the other side of our body. So I thank you, Jesus, for touching that right side, cuspid. I think that's something to do with something else. Cuspid. I heard the word cuspid. Hang on a second. I'm going to look this up. Cuspid. What is that? I've heard that before. Okay, hang on a second here. Hey, my internet keeps. I'm going to have to get me a direct cable in here. It just keeps messing up on me, and I can't handle this. I'm going into my internet, and it's not on. It comes off when I don't. Here we go. Okay. All right, cuspid. C U
S-P-I-D. Cuspid, the tooth, the single cuspid is a point. Cuspid. Cuspid definition, I don't know. I didn't know what this word was. It tells you I don't know anything. A tooth with a single cuspid, a canine tooth. That has nothing to do with the back, so it's a completely different thing. I'm looking it up right now, trying to cuspid. So somebody must be having a tooth issue. Could be somebody just listening tonight. I don't know what that is, but come on, internet, work so I can see what this is. Tooth with a single projection point or elevation. I think cuspid means something else too. I don't know what's happening with that. Anyway, I'm willing to step out and make a pull for myself, have a fill of myself for the Lord, whatever He wants to do. So,
it's mine.
Huh, what now?
The cuspid tooth. I just looked. There's a tooth that has been bothering me that I've been praying for the Lord to correct. I didn't even know it was a cuspid tooth. I just Googled it. And when I looked in the mirror, it is the cuspid tooth, and it's on my right side.
Hey, I thought we were dealing. How did you get in there? We were dealing with Terrence, and all of a sudden we're messing with Tanisha. How did that happen?
Yeah,
I just heard the word cuspid. I thought that was like something with the shoulder. You know, like cuspid, like part of a bone. I didn't know what it was. I just heard the word. And we're going to do something about the back here. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. It's about a tooth. And then Tanisha says, that's my tooth because that's my cousin. Well, Lord, I don't know, but I thank you, Jesus, for we are worthy, God, because we're your children. And we love you. And we're doing everything we know to obey. We're not perfect. It's not about being perfect that makes us worthy. It's that we love you and we're wanting to do your will. And I know that's Terrence and Tanisha, and that's me, and that's those listening tonight. God, I thank you for touching that cuspid tooth in Jesus' name. Wow, amen. Well, tell me about that. So it's a cuspid tooth?
It's a cuspid tooth. So I had braces for years, and maybe 4 years ago, I lost one of my retainers, and my teeth shifted because apparently teeth have memory. So you have to wear that retainer for the rest of your life, or your teeth will go right back to where they were pre-braces, which is something I learned after the fact. And so that cuspid tooth, it's like the way it's situated, it's really like it's lifted higher than my other teeth, and it creates this big space. And it would cost me thousands to get it corrected again. And I said, Lord, I've already paid thousands. Like, I need that tooth fixed. Because when my teeth shifted, it just causes, like, problems with all my other teeth. But that's the main tooth that shifted was that cuspid tooth. And so I've been praying about it. I'm like, you know, if I got to just pay the whatever and get it, you know, get all the stuff done to correct it, so be it. I was like, but God, I believe you can move that tooth back. So I've been praying about that. I didn't even know it was called a cuspid tooth until I looked at Google Images just now. So I'm amazed because, you know, sometimes we'll think things are petty to pray about, but I don't. I pray about everything. So I was like, Lord, if you could fix that, I believe you could fix it. I mean, you're the ultimate dentist, so you could fix this tooth so that it could get back in line and then my teeth will shift back. But I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was called. I had – when you say cuspid, I'm like, is it a tooth? Like, what is it? And then when you said tooth and I Googled it, I was like, oh, my gosh. And when you said the right side, I'm like, oh, I'm looking at my mouth in the mirror. I'm like, it is on the right side. Oh, my God.
Oh
my mind's blown.
That is absolutely crazy. That's Jesus all the way. I did not have a clue what a cuspid was. I hate to say, I used to be a dental lab technician, and I should have known that. But, I don't even think. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so I guess God just says, okay, Terrence, he's fine. Let's go. Let's move over here to Tanisha and get her for a second or something like that. That's amazing. He's letting you know he's hearing your prayers.
Right. I'm amazed because, you know, you start to think like, maybe that's not on, you know, the priority list. I'll just have to, you know, do what needs to be done. But no, he listens and he cares. about the things that we care about, the things we present. Because I was like, I really believe you could do it, Lord. It sounds crazy, but I know you can move that tooth back. So, wow.
That's amazing. So, Lord, we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Terrence.
I was just saying, you know, with her prayers, like, you know, God always reminds me of the things that he's done. You know, he always takes me back to Calvary and the life of Christ. And I got more revelation tonight when you were speaking. You were sharing about things that Jesus was doing. And when you were sharing, the Lord was showing me about how, like, Jesus did things. And people received them, but he was like, why was he showing it to us? He was showing it to us because God can do anything that he so chooses. But he was showing us basically how we can move in the flesh and how we could deal with things by being in the flesh. Because, like, you know, a lot of times we'd be like, man, I couldn't help it. You know, I had to. But you know how I am, or this, that, another. But everything that we can deal with, the Lord has already overcome it. And he dealt with it. I mean, Denise was talking about it earlier, about anything that we can deal with in the earth, Christ gave his life for. Because when he took on the sins of the world, that's everything. So anything that we can ever encounter and be harmed by or whatever, and the effects that it will have on us, it can be overcome because it has already been overcome. And so, like, we can do
right.
it. But even if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, doesn't mean it can't. It just
right.
for whatever reasons, because, you know, our ways are not his ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts, but he's still able. And so knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, that's the beauty behind it, because Jesus was the ultimate example and showing us how we can really move in the flesh and really understand. And he showed us how this has dominion over the flesh. And if we just apply it, we can get those same results. But that's
right.
It's definitely a faith thing. And it's a will. Like whatever God has will for your life, whatever his will is for your life as well. And so there's a lot of things we won't know or won't ever experience on this side, but it's all about having the faith that even if I never experience it, doesn't mean that my God wasn't able to do it.
Corey, we just need to learn how to take, you know, that into action. It's one of the things that communion did for me. There's a lot of different things you could activate your faith with, but communion did that for me in a way that just seemed so subtle. It seemed so non, you know, amazing and manifest that there was nothing really powerful about it as far as that I felt every time. But it became a thing where, you know, I'm just doing something by faith, whether I feel anything or not, and I just keep doing it. And I found myself like going, wow, you have to really be careful and look and see that my life began to change, though I had to pay attention to it, you know, because it was changing, things were happening. And I just thought, well, that's because the Lord said take communion, and he had me do that because condemnation is one of our worst enemies. You know, God uses condemnation to tear down, you know, judgments that come against us, you know, condemn every tongue that rises against. And Satan uses condemnation. And so it's a huge thing that most people are not aware of. It keeps their faith from being used by God, you know, keeps them from, you know, like, you know, even saying, you know, like Tanisha didn't go for that, but, you know, like my cuspid tooth is not that important, you know, or it's just a little bitty thing. You know, that could be partially, not that she didn't yield to that, but
that can be condemnation for some people. Like, God didn't really care about that. Like, what is that? That's condemnation. Now, he cares about every little thing. And it's paid for, like you said. He's paid for every little thing. And communion was one of the things that helped me to connect with every little thing. You know, and so it's just one of the things that God told me. I think everybody has a different way of doing things. But, yeah, it really changed my life. And I'm very, very grateful for it, so for sure. But it's been paid for. Yeah, for
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Cuspid tooth and back thing tonight. We're just going to believe God for that healing virtue to flow, God. And with me, most time when I got healed of things, I hardly ever got mine right away. Mine just kind of like, I would wake up, you know, realize a week later, I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, oh, my back's not hurting anymore. What happened? You know, I didn't feel necessarily the power of God hit me or anything particular happened. I just, maybe a little bit of burning sometimes. I feel a burning or a heat down there. And I didn't know what that was, you know, at the time. And then I just, you know, not in everything every time, but many times, little by little, it just go away.
Mm-hmm.
So God can heal any way he wants to. All right, you guys. This has been awesome, man. Awesome revelation. Yeah, that's just great. Woo! Wow.
Oh.
So it's all paid for, man. We've got to activate. We're going to activate our faith. That was kind of my word to Sharon tonight was God, you know, giving you ways to activate your faith. Because once we activate our faith, it has to happen. That's what our faith is for, is to activate what's already been done. It's not we're trying to work it and get it to be done. Like you said, it's already been done. It's a matter of activating our faith. That's why true teachings about faith is important.
Absolutely. Miss Denise was talking about it earlier because the moment that you pray and ask God for something, because we were talking about the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit, and earlier the guy was talking about basically this kind of like far-fetched or what have you. But you know, I was like, okay, you know, even though us as Christians and believers, you know, sometimes we don't see things eye to eye or the same way. But I said it's really not a point for us to get angry with one another to where we lose it. But it's okay to, you know, when someone is saying something opposite of what you believe, it's natural for you to get upset or to have some type of like pushback on it. But I said when we're dealing with the Lord, we should always like we should be able to have a righteous anger. Like look that ticked me off because it's not something I agree with. But let me pray about this. And let me see what God says. And God will always guide us because it's all about us being able to have effective communication and bring God in the midst, especially us as believers, you know, because you may hear something one way and interpret something one way, and I may hear something one way, however it came our understanding is all about us coming together and taking it to the Lord and the Lord clearing it up for everybody. So it's like we have to give people grace and we have to, you know, be slow to anger but swift to hear. And let me hear this first. Let me make sure I got to see where this person is because sometimes people have a hard time explaining things or saying things, or they could be saying one thing but really meaning something else. And so just getting to the bottom of it really, really helps because we tend to want to cut people off as soon as, I don't agree with that, and then you want to cut the conversation off. I'm like, but that's what dialogue is about. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation, especially when people are trying to sincerely get to their place of understanding, their level of understanding, and wanting to have peace with what they've obtained. And so that's a beauty
that's
behind.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I can do that way too. I think we all do that. Like I said, it's a pretty natural thing for us to
mm-hmm.
get upset and say, no, it's what I believe, you know, instead of just, you know, yeah. So that's really good. And be patient with people, because sometimes it's just a matter of planting a seed. If you truly have something that's the truth, you can plant that seed and water it, and God will give the
mm-hmm.
increase. You don't have to worry about trying
Absolutely.
To get it yourself. I struggled with that for years, like, you know, what's wrong with these people, man? They're like stupid. And I was just being patient. And yeah, like, oh, man. And I realized that, you know, they're just like me. They're not going to believe something just because you say it. They got to get it from God, right? So I have to go through the
right.
process to get it from God. I plant the seed, water it, and then I have to wait till God gives the increase. So be a little patient, will you?
Right. Right, because that is the posture. I use that word often, but I believe that that's the posture of the believer of those that follow after Christ, those that stand for Christianity, those that really, really, really have a heart to see everybody find success. And you're only going to find success through Christ. And so if we are here helping one another get to Jesus, Jesus is going to clear it all up, because relationship is really, really important. And I can't stress it enough, as we move forward in the days to come, your relationship with God is going to be key. And
yeah.
you being able to hear from him is going to be key. It's always been key, but it's going to be more key in the days to come than ever before. Because it's going to get ugly. I'm laughing because it's like when you're walking with Christ, you don't lose. And so it's like I get kind of humor out of everything that Satan is going to attempt to do. But us as believers, like, we already know the outcome. Like, you running and you're making a lot of noise, but it's not going to do anything. It's not for the believer. So we're gonna keep talking. We're going to keep sounding the alarm and calling people in to safety, because we don't want y'all to get caught up in this storm out there. And that's how I look at it when it comes down to the days to come. It's a big storm on the way, and Christ has a safe place for you to be.
Yeah.
But you got to be right. willing to come. We ain't snatching people off the streets or nothing like that. We ain't forcing nobody in. You got to be willing to come. It's an open door policy. You can come. But the truth would give you access. The sincerity, and only God knows your heart. And so you have that access. But, that's why I can laugh, because it's like I already know, like, when he's defeated, anything that he comes with, like, I'm not afraid of Satan, okay? And I don't tell people that often, but I'm not. Like, I'm not afraid of anything, literally. Like, nothing scares me at all. Because I know what fear does, and I know who I'm rolling with. And so I have no reason to be afraid of anything outside of God. If anything, I'm afraid of of what God will do if I'm not in his will, you know. If I don't follow him, if I don't accept him, that right there, now that scares me, you know. But when you're in the will of, man, no, Satan cannot scare me. Nothing defeated can scare me. Nothing. Nothing that I know that what your end is. I already know what your final destination is, your final place is. I already know all of your moves because God has given me insight on everything that you do. I know how you operate. So I'm always at an advantage. I'm never at a disadvantage when it comes down to them, you know. And so with that mentality, I know that has really helped me, and that's what I believe God has given me to share with a lot of people about cultivating that relationship and really, like, trusting God, trusting him with everything. We don't have any reason to be afraid of nothing. I'm not afraid of the government. I ain't never been afraid of COVID. I ain't never been afraid of cancer. I ain't never been afraid of AIDS. I ain't never been afraid of murderers and thieves and robbers. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah.
I look at it like this. Y'all should be afraid of me.
Right.
Because of what I'm coming with and what I have. I'm walking with the true authority. I have the spirit of the living God living inside of me. I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit of the true and living God. You should be afraid when I step on the scene. Because anything that's dead and I come in with that life, come on now. No. And that's the posture that the believers are going to have to take on in the days to come. Knowing your position, knowing your God, knowing who God is. Hey, know who he is. Spend some time with him, man. Talk to him. We're begging for stuff all the time from him. And just sit and talk to him. Ask him how
Yeah.
I mean, as my dad used to tell me growing up, just talk to the Lord, son. Just talk to him. And he'll talk back. I used to look at my dad like, whatever.
Yeah.
But now I know.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Sweet.
Awesome. That is really, really cool. We thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you for that no fear that place. We thank you, God, that we meditate upon your word and we get revelation of your word. It's not just something we believe in our head, but when we get in our hearts, when it goes from our head to our heart. Wow, with the man's heart, he believes.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Jesus. Real faith is in the heart. And when the heart believes, ain't no way. We can't lose. Doesn't mean things don't happen to us, but things happen to Jesus. Things happen to Joseph. Things happen to people. And we thank you, Lord, that whatever happens to us, we give you the glory all the time. If there's been any access to me for any reason, like with Job, a different thing, God, there's something going on. You're trying to teach me. You're trying to grow me up. You're trying to grow me up fast. Sometimes when injustice comes, I talked about this with Joseph, I think last week, that when injustice comes, and Joseph never did anything. I mean, he was a kid. He smarted off his brothers. Maybe not smarted off. He told them, you know, y'all are going to be bowing down to me. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun. They're going like, oh, yeah, we're going to get rid of you. You know, and he didn't really do anything wrong, but at the same time, you know, there was no intent in his heart that was evil, that he was just telling what God said, but they turned on him, and everything that they turned on him about was to, God was using it to train him for his mission that he had for him. So, Lord, I thank you. I'm just getting this right now. I thank you, Lord, for your people that we realize we're on a mission. We're not here to build a ministry. We're not here to be, we're here to, in what we do may build a ministry. But we're here on a mission, and so my whole goal is fulfilling the mission that you've given me. That's what Jesus walked with. He didn't walk with, I'm trying to build my ministry. I'm trying to get people to like me. I'm trying to get people to, you know, watch what I'm saying. What really cool thing can I say to be cool? people start, you know, getting a lot of people say, oh, man, he's really cool or she's really cool. It's I'm on a mission, and I'm here to fulfill my mission. And Jesus said, you know, what my mission is, and his mission, he realized his mission became going to the cross. And when it came to that mission point, he had to realize, you know, I'm here on a mission. I'm 33 years old. I got a lot of life to live. People from all over the world are trying to find out about that God is touching people, healing people, resurrecting people. Why do I need to die? Why can't I wait for 3 more years before I die? But the Father says, no, son, you're on a mission. And that mission has to be done a certain way. And that, Lord, we thank you for Terrence's mission, God, that it's about his mission, whatever that mission is, whatever Terrence's mission is, whatever in particular and details those things are, and whatever Randy, whatever who's listening tonight, whatever your mission is, God, I think that we become mission-minded people in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to hear this right now. I just got this in my spirit that God is redirecting you to, like with me sometimes, I found myself getting caught up into, well, you know, I better not say that stuff and talk about that because, you know, if people don't like me, then how's my ministry going to grow? You know, and it's something that we all deal with, something we all battle with. So I go, well, what am I talking about? You know, I'm on a mission. And if I do my mission impossible, I may have a mission impossible going on. And especially if I'm everything everybody likes, my mission is going to be, it's a mission impossible. But you know what? If I do everything God tells me to do, the way he tells me to do it, and if everybody hates my guts for a season, you know what? Eventually, if I'm doing my mission, then that mission is going to turn and I'm going to be blessed. And pretty soon, like Jesus, seating at the right hand of the Father above all principality and power. Why? Because he decided, well, I'm not going to try to save the world, heal the world, deliver the world, and then go to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross now. And I thank you, Jesus, that our suffering, Joseph's suffering, was because you had him on a mission. And that mission required that he suffer injustice for a season. So that when he got set free, when he got finally in that place of his mission, then his mission impossible became mission amazing. Mission done. Mission being done. And we thank you, Jesus, that you took him through that season of injustice so that you could raise up a person who would walk in great justice. Amen. And when Joseph, like Karen said, when Joseph walked on the scene, he's going like, here I am. I do what God tells me. Oh, he goes, man, I hear that you interpret dreams right away. He didn't sweet talk Pharaoh. He said, in all due respect, sir, he said, I don't have anything. And my God tells me, if God tells me, I know. If he don't tell me, I don't know nothing. He came right out and just, and he's like going, I like this guy, man. Who is this guy? I mean, when he steps on the scene, it's like the atmosphere changed. Like, my God, who is this Joseph guy? He's telling Pharaoh. Everybody was probably like on pins and needles. Oh, my God, I can't believe he just told Joseph. I mean, Joseph just told Pharaoh, you know, basically, you know, hey, sir, I don't have nothing. You know, most people just go, oh, yes, sir. Yeah, I've done that before. I'm pretty good at that. I'm really gifted at that. Not Joseph. He said, no, it don't work like that, sir. If God gives it to me, I got it. If he doesn't, so go ahead. You want to tell me your dream? Go ahead. And Pharaoh says, man, I like this guy. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's put him in charge, especially when he interpreted the dream. And Pharaoh knew that Joseph spoke with boldness. You know, he spoke without any fear. He said, I don't care if you send me back to my prison. You don't like what I say, you send me back to prison. I don't want to go back to prison. I'd rather be with my parent. I'd rather be with my dad. I'd rather be with my family. And maybe you can set me free. But you know what? I'm not going to suck up to nobody. I'm going to tell you exactly what God gives me out of due respect and honor. And if you send me back to my prison cell, I'll go back. If you don't, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I love these guys. And they said, man, if God doesn't deliver us, we don't even care. We're not going to bow no matter what. And I thank you, Lord, for putting that in Terrence's heart, in Tanisha's heart, in my heart, and those listening tonight, God, that we're on a mission. If that mission means we die, then we die. Because we're going to be resurrected anyway. What are we really got our eyes on? Oh, I'm afraid they're going to die because they're going to cut my head off. Who cares? If you got a mission and your mission is going to require your head being taken off, it's a privilege and an honor to die for Jesus. And most people don't think like that these days. Oh, God, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to die. I don't want to be, you know. Yeah, who does? But if it's part of your mission to get the mission accomplished, then so be it, whatever it takes. And I think it's for PGN and all the people listening to me tonight and Tara tonight and Tanisha that we are believing you that we are, our heart is turning more toward not building our ministries, not saying all the right things, make people happy and give some key little clues or something. We're here to, we're on a mission. We say it, whether they're going to like it or not. We say it out of respect. We say it out of honor. We say it out of love. And we're going to say it no matter what anybody thinks about it, if God has definitely confirmed it, that that's from him. And then you're going to use that to raise us up in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for Terrence. I thank you that every tongue that rises against him in judgment, we condemn those tongues in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Whatever God you're doing, it's through injustice and stuff to do a quick work in him and a quick work in Phoenicia because of where the season that we're heading into. It's like Joseph was heading into that season where everything was going to change. There's going to come a great famine. And guess who was there to bring the famine to its fruition the way God wanted it? Joseph. Mm-hmm. Joseph was the one who saved the food. Who would, you know, put 5-7 years of plenty, he's going to save that food. Why? Because he was on a mission from God to do whatever God said. And I thank you, Jesus, that during this season that we're about to enter into, that you have people that have suffered injustice, and because you've been doing a quick work in their life. The only way you can do a really, really quick work sometimes is through injustice like you did with Joseph. And you raised him up, and at 30-something years old, man, he's running the world, basically, under Pharaoh, with Pharaoh. My God, that is amazing. And that injustice time, he paid a price, but it taught him some great things about how to trust God no matter what. Whether he got delivered or not, he's going to do what God says. Bless him, God, in Jesus' name. Open up those doors, Father, and Terrence, for Terrence's mission, for the mission impossible that only God can do. If our mission is possible with people, we can do it. That's why it doesn't matter what hell comes against you. If God, for some reason, is allowing it to teach us to rise up in authority, to teach us to forgive and bless, and bring us to a deeper depth at a fast pace, then he will do that. And then when the time is over, then all of a sudden, guess who's going to be ruling over those people that have been lying about us? Guess who's going to be ruling over those people that have cheated us and done evil against us? And then when they come and they are broken, we don't hold it against them like Joseph did his brothers. They forgive. They make a provision for them. That's the heart you're giving your people, God, your leaders. That's a true leader. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. I don't know who that was for tonight, but receive that, getting your eyes back on your mission instead of, you know, whatever. God's just been dealing with me about that just recently. So anyway, there you go. All right, man. Anything else before I move on to my next caller here? Anything particular you want to share or say or whatever?
That's everything. Yeah, that's all, man.
That was a lot, man. My God, you got me all stirred up. Wow. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing that. And the custard thing was really the cool thing. And I love it when God does that. I mean, here I thought custard had something to do with Terrence, right? Like a shoulder thing or something with the bone. I didn't know what the heck it was. You know, I'm just blabbing, opening my mouth, you know, out comes custard. Oh, it's a custard. Yeah. Terrence, you got a custard problem, maybe. I don't know. Somebody does. It's a bone or something. Let's look it up. Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm wrong. It's a tooth. Oh, it's Tanisha's tooth. Wow. God, you are so good. We blab it and we grab it. That's what I do. I get it and I spit it. Hey, that's a new one, Terrence. I get it and I spit it.
I like it.
I get it.
And I spit it.
Get it and I spit it.
That's good stuff. Look at it.
Wow. Oh, brother. Y'all tearing me up tonight. I get it, and I spit. I blame that on y'all. That whole thing is y'all's fault. I would have never said that had I wasn't talking to y'all. And y'all know it. So just go ahead and spit.
We bring it out of you.
Spit. Terrence was like, what's the name?
Bring it out of you right there, Ren.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, y'all. We're blaming all that on y'all, every bit of it. I get it and I spit it. That is ridiculous. And I love it, by the way. Yeah.
Right.
Cuspid, yeah, I'm going to spit that right out. Cuspid, I know what that is. That's got to be a bone or something. It sounds really familiar. But, no, get it and you spit it, and then it ends up being something else. I love it. Like, spitting in the wind. Hey, there you go. We spit in the wind, and the wind's the Holy Ghost, right? So you spit in the wind. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're just spitting in the wind. But instead of it hitting you in the face, it has a purpose.
Right.
It's for Tanisha. You spit in the wind, and it lands on Tanisha. Oh, that's my tooth. Anyway, I'm getting crazy. So. We're just going to change the Christian terminology. Yeah, no. Around here, we spit in the wind. Oh, I think you're supposed to spit in the wind. Yeah, right here, we did spit in the wind. But the wind's the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Spit in the Holy Ghost? Okay. Anyway.
It happened.
See?
Wow.
I'm blaming y'all for every bit of that, because I would have never said that had I wasn't talking to you. I know. I know that. All right, you guys. All right, we love you guys. Anything particular we can pray for before we move on?
My job situation, Randy.
Okay.
Whatever comes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Whatever comes to mind, my job is on my mind. I don't have any peace. I don't want to give you too much. But.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. I understand. All right, I'm going to meet you, and then I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Karen. Thank you for the job situation there, God. And thank you for your love for him and for what he's doing and what he believes in, God, that he's trusting you and believing in you, God, and he is believing you to have – he wants your mission. It's about the mission. Oh, maybe that's what the mission word is about. I'm not sure exactly what the mission thing is. That might have been my whole thing about stopping and just getting crazy about the mission thing was the mission. Oh, that could be, that may be what that is. I don't know, we'll pray about that. But we thank the Lord that God may have already given the answer to that. It's about the mission. The mission is not about the job we have or that we don't have or whatever. It's about the mission that we're on. Like when I went to work for that company, I didn't want to be a painter. I've been preaching, man, for years. You know, I'm in a town. I moved to Dallas and having a job and having this going on. So, you know, I got a job because I want to take care of my family. I don't want to be some irresponsible idiot, you know. I take care of my family. And so that's what I did. And so I'm going like, okay, God, you know, I've had enough of this job. Is it time to go? Because I got a mission, you know. And so the mission that he accomplished with me on that job, this thing is just messed up. What's wrong with this thing? My internet thing keeps doing this thing. Hang on a second. Yeah, I'm just messing up on the internet. Give me a second. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all are still on because I tried to hang on a second here. Yeah, I'm having to. Yeah. I'm trying to do this thing. I've been needing to run me a cable directly into my computer instead of going by Wi-Fi. So sometimes, because sometimes it does this to me right in the middle of the show, and I should, I've already measured the cable and everything, and what I need is to go get it. So help me do it tomorrow, Jesus. Amen. All right, here we go. Now I'm getting back on. Okay, just a second. Okay. What is going on? This is all right. Brother. Okay. Okay, now I got it. Finally, I got you turned off there. All right, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing with Terrence. Lord, I thank you, Lord, if that mission thing had something to do with it, I don't know. That made me think maybe that's why I was getting that. I knew it was for somebody because I just jumped right in there and kind of jumped in on top of your stuff and just started going at that. Like, you know, I do that only because, you know, I feel like the Lord is wanting me to stop everything and say something before I lose it. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. Maybe you can go back and listen to that word about what I just gave about the mission. Oops. Let me get my phone back over here. Everything about the mission that we talked about, maybe that's what God's saying about it. And that's about the mission. And we thank you, Lord, for as he goes back and maybe listens to that word, like Paul told Timothy, go back and listen to the prophecies you've been received for to fight a good warfare, and fight a good fight. So we thank you, Lord, if that has something to do with that, in Jesus' name, open that up to that. And like when I worked from that job for years, you know, finally had a revival there. The revival went on for about three years. That was on, you know, Daystar Network and all that kind of, it was a really big thing. I was on my mission. I decided that I'm on a mission, and that mission became my job, you know, and I did what I, you know, people didn't like me. They tried to get rid of me because I witnessed to them about Jesus. And just for some reason, I didn't have any favor with, it seemed like. I thought, God, I need to get out of here. That was my case. And then I started saying, Lord, you know, okay, I have a mission. My mission is not here. Being a painter, being a construction worker at high-rise buildings, but you know what? I'm on a mission, and I'm going to get back on my mission, God. I'm going to continue my mission. So I began missioning, and pretty soon we got revival, and then I'm on TV. They sent camera crews out to do a reenactment of what God did there on the job. And so my mission, and then that, when I completed that part of my mission, then they got rid of me finally. They got rid of me, but I finished my mission. And I'm a little slow. Sometimes people are faster than I am. But I got it, and God moved me on, and now I'm back in the saddle again. So I thank you, Jesus, for whatever thing, however that might fit Terrence, God, in whatever way. We thank you, Jesus, for that in Jesus' name, and bless him. And in Jesus' name, and give him wisdom on how to do like what I did. You know, I put my mission into full action. In fact, my mission actually got me laid off. It was during the 2008 crash that had happened in the economy, and finally it hit my company, and they said they were getting rid of people, and but I knew why they got rid of me, because the boss lady, who was a Christian lady, her husband was a cuss like a sailor. He didn't like me, but she came up to me and she told me why they were getting rid of me. Because she wanted to tell the truth. And so I knew. She said, we're afraid we're going to get sued because I would pray for people on the job. I'll talk about Jesus, you know, not while I'm working, but when I'm, you know. And so, yeah, she told me. She said, you know, so I knew why they got rid of me, because she actually told, not a rumor, not a conspiracy theory. She actually told me. And so it was God using her to say, Randy, your mission has been complete. And now they're going to get rid of you. You're not doing it on your own. They're going to get rid of you. So they did. And I moved on. It was amazing. All right, 111, who I talked to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. It's Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara. Let's take you on, let's take you on here. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara from Texas. And thank you, Jesus, for the anointing, God, to change things. Sometimes the anointing changes us. Sometimes the anointing changes things around us. Whatever needs to be changed, it gets changed. God's always changing me. And when he changes me, you see, things just change automatically almost when I change. But sometimes in the process of changing things outside of me that God wants to change, seems like that battle's even harder. Because if it's up to me to change, it's easier for me to change than it is for somebody else to change. Like even in a business relationship or a marriage or whatever, or a ministry situation, you know, where you have other people involved, it's easy. You know, we can always change and God can bless us, but people changing is the difficulty because we can't change them. Only God. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. So thank you, Lord, for Barbara. You, Lord, showing her more and more all the time, Albert, you know, we change, we can change, and we can believe God to change whatever's going on in our heart. You know, it may not necessarily be a bad thing, but maybe something's growing us into something bigger, something greater. But the changing people, that's a whole different thing that's outside of us. So it's a whole different thing that we deal with. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her the wisdom, the patience, the understanding how to change those things from without, that God, only you can do that, and we know that. But sometimes we need to understand the process that we've done everything we know to do. We've planted, we've watered, and we've even fertilized a little bit, waiting for God to give the increase on that. And thank you in Jesus' name for that. Amen, for that increase. Amen. All right. All right, Barbara, what's going on? Anything? All right, what's up? How are you?
I just really, really enjoyed the show tonight. I tell you, that was great word of everyone that you conversated with. Just beautiful. Yeah, just enjoying the show and thanking God, you know, and getting the understanding. I just want to thank you for years of your service. You know, for PGN and for the ministry.